was found in the Hitler-Himmler research. There's no trauma more horrific on the human mind than sexual abuse of a child prior to age 5 while the brain is still forming. Equally, satanic ritual abuse because of the blood trauma is so against human nature that it is, too, one of the most horrific traumas on the human mind. So in my case, since I was thrust into MKUltra mind control so early on, I was subjected to both sexual abuse and ritual abuse. Well, Gerald Ford was the one who gave my father immunity from prosecution if he would sell me into MKUltra mind control. I had been prostituted to Ford since I was a little bitty toddler. So the connection was there. By the time Ford's political career escalated, so too did my victimization in MKUltra mind control. So I was among these perpetrators deep in the Washington, D.C. swamp, where the mind control agenda was being planned and being played out. And it was our children who were being targeted for it. So having foreseen all of that plan and deprogrammed it by healing from within myself, it's all in my 1995 testimony for Congress, you know, and if it hadn't been censored under national security, if people had had that information, then they would have had the knowledge that is our defense against mind control. We wouldn't be in the position that we are today. We've been at this, you and I have, bringing truth to light for decades now, you know, and we go all the way back to Bohemian Grove when MKUltra mind control slaves were being sacrificed at Bohemian Grove to eliminate them for the information that they had.
That's come out in declassified documents that they call it using someone up. Sometimes they are so vicious to the baby, they go ahead and kill them, but then they pick some to be servants. But what, usually in the 30s, they get rid of you? Because this is on record, but this is fat. This is horrifying, but important. Explain that.
Yeah, it is important, and people should look into Transformation of America and or listen to it on Audible to get the details, the graphic details of what actually goes on there. But it's the same thing as what was happening at Epstein Island. The difference is Epstein Island was disrupted in the midst of it. Bohemian Grove, very few of us survived that onslaught that was done there. Thanks to, you know, people like you crawling in there on your belly and getting photos so early on, at least, you know, some of us were.
Well, by the way, Kathy, when I did that in 2000, I halfway didn't believe it. I knew you were real. I knew Gunderson was real. I knew, you know, the man you later married, you know, deep level CIA was real. I still didn't think they're going to do a mock human sacrifice to an owl, which is just the drill. And I get there and it's all true. They were taking a deadly. I mean, I was like, oh my, it's real.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that helped open people's eyes to reality, to understand what was going on with Epstein and the Epstein Island. And the survivors of that are far more numerous because of the disruption. Just because there are so many of them, it doesn't mean that they are healed and ready to be speaking out. And, you know, I'm deeply concerned.
Yeah, I noticed in the Senate hearing, a lot of the women said they're so programmed. They want government. They can't. They can't even remember.
Right. Of course. That's the way MKUltra mind control works. It's how they capitalize on our brain's natural defense to trauma too horrible to comprehend. The neuron pathways in the brain actually physically shut down and repress that trauma deep into the subconscious, so the rest of the mind can develop and function normally. Well, the repeated traumas make it impossible for someone to be able to remember until those neuron pathways are open. And it takes being in a safe place, because that's how our brains respond to safety. As it opens.
You never talk about this, but can you speak to just a few minutes? I know it's hard, if you can, to the early satanic feeder group with your family. Can you talk about that programming? I know it's hard to talk about.
Yes. Yes, well, it was found in the Hitler-Himmler research. There's no trauma more horrific on the human mind than sexual abuse of a child prior to age 5 while the brain is still forming. Equally, satanic ritual abuse because of the blood trauma is so against human nature that it is, too, one of the most horrific traumas.
got 25% off store-wide for all apparel, but we've decided this week to sweeten the deal by giving you buy one, get one 50% off for either the Shilajit Complex capsules or the Shilajit gummy. These gummies are delicious. They boost your testosterone, your vitality, and so much more. I take them every single day, and I've noticed a marked difference in my life. It doesn't stop there. We've got buy one, get one 50% off for atomic defense as well. This is designed using ingredients that have been used for thousands of years to boost immune support. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It doesn't stop there. We are officially launching the Alex Jones War Bonds. You'll see here that there's a code right there. You can pause it. The first person to use this code does get $110 on the store. The way it works is you pay $100, you get this mail to you. It comes with a custom code that will allow you to get $110 in store credit to the store. So pause it. First person to use this code gets $110, and make sure you show your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
It's Friday, September 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this scene, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Comes to you live this Friday morning. We're going to finish out the week strong here. We got a lot of stories to cover, a lot of developments going on. Yesterday there were fireworks flying in the U.S. Congress with RFK Jr. going toe-to-toe against a bunch of old big pharma shills. Very fun stuff. We're going to be joined in 1 hour by Joseph Sansone, who, of course, he's been visiting us regularly to give updates to his very, I think, sophisticated and long overdue attempt to get the mRNA shots classified as weapons of mass destruction and therefore removed at least from your childhood vaccine schedule. So very excited to hear an update from him. I have a lot of videos to go to today, so we'll get to as many as possible. And probably open up the phone lines for your calls in the third hour. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 5th of September, 2025. Trump to sign executive order renaming Pentagon the Department of War. On September 5th, 2025, U.S. President Donald Trump will sign an executive order to add Department of War as a secondary title to the Department of Defense without formally renaming it due to the need for congressional approval. The change aims to reflect a more aggressive military stance, with Trump stating the name has a stronger sound and an unbelievable history of victory associated with it. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is directed to promote the new title in communications. While the order may incur significant cost due to changes in agency material, as highlighted by legal and military analysts. Opponents, including Senator Tammy Duckworth, are stupid losers. Sorry, I don't need to read that last sentence. Shut up, Tammy. Tammy, for the sake of all of us, please stop talking ever again. Thank you. The American people appreciate it. The Department of War, of course, is what it was originally called when it was founded, and they changed it to Department of Defense to put a positive spin on the endless war that we wage overseas for no discernible reason. So I think it's kind of a just symbolic gesture, but an honest one. Meanwhile, Representatives Massey and Green to name Epstein clients in-house. Representatives Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene are willing to use constitutional immunity to disclose names of Jeffrey Epstein's associates allegedly involved in abuse, as Massey stated on social media. Green expressed her determination to name those responsible and acknowledged the fear involved in doing so during a press conference. Epstein survivor Lisa Phillips mentioned that survivors are collaborating to compile their own lists of individuals associated with Epstein. President Donald Trump dismissed the issue as a Democrat hoax, emphasizing that it was irrelevant to the nation's success under his presidency. It may be irrelevant to the success of the nation under his presidency, but it is relevant to the sovereignty of our country and the ability of our government to actually serve its purpose in defending the lives of its citizens against abuse and bringing about justice in the case of crimes being committed. So, no, it's not going to have an effect on the tariffs on India, obviously. It is going to have a very resounding effect on whether or not we are a country or just the slave state of an international cabal. So I think it does matter. Meanwhile, RFK Jr. stuns critics in high-stakes Senate hearing. I don't know if I'm going to go to any of these. This basically started as soon as my show ended yesterday, and InfoWars was pretty dedicated to showing all this stuff yesterday. So if you watch Alex's show, you've seen all of the good parts. RFK Jr. walked into Congress and took down his biggest critics in one fell swoop. It was a masterclass. Elizabeth Warren erupted over Kennedy taking COVID vaccines away, only to have her $855,000 in pharma bucks exposed. That's when Bernie Sanders made a fatal error. He blurted out that nearly every politician is taking pharma dollars, as if that somehow excused Warren himself and his colleagues. This is one of those head-scratching moments that leave you wondering, did he really just say that?
Well, we all take bribes. Well, we're all corrupt. Don't throw that in the face of Elizabeth Warren. She's just like all of us.
Yeah, pretty astonishing stuff. But we're going to make America healthy, whether you like it or not, you old dirtbags. Former French president says Ukraine cannot win. Europe must seek peace. European leaders must recognize that Ukraine cannot win its war with Russia and work on real diplomacy, not just phony talk, so that the fighting can stop and soldiers and indeed citizens can stop dying. That's according to former French President Nicolas Sarkozy, whose recent interview, spanning a range of topics with Le Figaro, was discussed in our coverage of the upcoming vote of confidence organized by French Prime Minister François Bayrou. Sarkozy said that at this stage in the conflict, everything must still be done for peace, asking, do we consider that a million dead and wounded is not enough and that the war must continue? Not just continue, sir, expand wildly. Not only are they planning the war to continue, they're planning to bring the rest of the European states into combat as well. The only problem is that's actually impossible. I don't know what the European leaders are smoking exactly, but they cannot wage war with Russia. It is a physical impossibility, especially when you add China to the mix. I mean, it's not a question of opinion. It's not a question. I mean, this is a chihuahua really trying as hard as he possibly can to get in a fight to the death with a timber wolf. And it's just like, I'm not trying to crap on the chihuahua, but just, it's not a thing you can do, buddy. Just stay in your cage. You don't want to start this fight. You cannot win it. That is a physical reality you have to deal with, because that's where we're at this point. Europe has no people to fight the war. It has no armies to fight the war. It has no equipment to fight the war, and it has no industry to rebuild the equipment it would need to fight the war. They cannot fight this war. It has no energy production to fight the war. And maybe worst of all, if it even does try to fight a war, it has imported a fifth column of millions of hyper-violent Muslim men who will destroy it from the inside the instant all of the European men are sent off to some godforsaken corpse-strewn field in Russia to die for their masters. I mean, it is not possible for them to win a war, any war, especially not one against Russia and China. So what are they talking about? Obviously, Sarkozy is right. They cannot continue this war. They cannot maintain this war, and they certainly cannot expand and accelerate and join the war as NATO in any, you know, sizable fashion. So, you got to deal with that. You just have to deal with that. And there's also something interesting about, I guess we see it here in America too, but it's like any comment you ever see that has just any touchstone of legitimacy, reality, physical existence from a European leader, it's an ex-European leader, it's a former whatever, it's a, you know, out of office, fill in the blank. And then when they're in office, they all have exactly the same message. Like, I don't know exactly what voodoo hypnosis goes on in the offices of these prime ministers, but you guys ever notice that? You guys ever notice that, like, we pretty regularly hear condemnation of the Ukraine war, the Gaza war from European leaders, but only when they're out of office? In the instant they get into office, they just adopt all of the, I mean, this, it is sort of the same thing that happens in America. Maybe it's just more noticeable because it's such a wide array of characters from Europe. but I've just noticed that. And if you're in office in Europe, you are 100% dedicated to Ukraine. If you're not in office, you somehow gain the ability to just observe reality and recognize what's actually going on. So I'm not actually exaggerating when I call it voodoo hypnosis. I think there's some crazy psychological operations going on against these people. Because otherwise, why wouldn't any of the people in office ever say this when every single person out of office recognizes this and brings it up? And it's even people who were pushing it and were responsible for it in office. They then get out of office and turn around and go, this is crazy. So Sarkozy's right. That's all there is to say. Finally, we have this. DOD says Venezuelan aircraft flew near U.S. Navy vessel in highly provocative move. How dare they fly their plane near the boats that we have surrounding their nation? It's highly provocative for them to fly jets past the, you know, armada that we have now menacing their shores. How dare they? Two Venezuelan military, it's like it's the Iranian meme. You know, of course Iran wants war. Look how close they put their country to all of our military bases. You know, of course Venezuela wants war. Look how close its country is to the flotilla we just drove over there. Two Venezuelan military aircraft flew near a United States Navy vessel in international waters, which the DOD labeled as a highly provocative move amid rising tensions with Venezuela. The Pentagon warned Venezuela to stop further provocative actions, stating that the aircraft's behavior aimed to interfere with U.S. counter-narco-terror operations. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announced the activation of the national militia in response to perceived threats from Washington, stated it would cover all communities in Venezuela. The U.S. has doubled a reward to $50 million for information on Maduro's drug trafficking involvement amidst claims of extrajudicial killings related to U.S. operations. Again, I think the missing piece here is the international behavior of Venezuela. I think it has a lot less to do with the domestic concerns of Venezuela. Because as far as I can tell, and I haven't done a particularly deep investigation into this, but I don't see Venezuela as being particularly bad when it comes to migrants and drug trafficking. I mean, they're bad, don't get me wrong, but Central and South America, it's sort of, I mean, who's better than who? I mean, you got El Salvador as the standout example of a country not engaged in all this stuff, but every other country is pretty much engaged in this stuff. I mean, Mexico clearly, and just obviously from its geographic position, is much, much, much more significant player in the narco trade and the human trafficking trade. And anything that they're saying is the reason why we have a giant armada parked off the coast of Venezuela right now. It doesn't really justify Venezuela itself being a target any more than Mexico would be a target or any other country. I think it has a lot more to do with the military actions that Venezuela has been involved in, including helping to fund Hezbollah in Lebanon and working with Iran to trade their vast oil reserves or to even get access to their vast oil reserves. And I think it's just part of the tactic now. Like, I think what's happened is that Israel let October 7th happen because they wanted to take over Gaza and they wanted that to expand into, you know, much wider war in the ultimate goal of creating greater Israel. And they sort of stumbled in that goal. I don't know whether they've miscalculated things or whether they miscalculated the outrage that, you know, would come about because of their actions in Gaza, or if this is all just proceeding at a pace and in line with the plan, but I don't think it is. I think the ultimate goal was to bring in America from the beginning. I think that was the ultimate goal, to go after Iran, to eliminate Iran as their primary or really last standing rival in the region. And that sort of hit a brick wall. That sort of fizzled out because Trump wouldn't play along. We've read the articles where Israelis are saying, hey, the whole reason the Epstein issue is such a big problem for Trump right now is because he refused to go along with our plan to bomb Iran until it was overthrown. And that was the original plan. And this is why I sort of walked back my throwing Trump under the bus when he bombed Iran, because, well, he did bomb Iran, and that was my red line, and he did cross it, and that still outrages me. clearly what they wanted was for not just one bombing raid that we learn after the fact, that we learn about after the fact, but rather a persistent campaign of regime change against Iran that they expected Trump to go along with. He obviously didn't go along with it. And so they've changed, I think they've changed their tactics up a little bit. They're still going to go after Iran. I'm sure things are happening in the background. You know, Mossad agents are identifying, you know, targets in Iran. That will be unleashed at some point, without a doubt. And again, it's all about maneuvering, trying to get America to be the foot soldiers there, since they just physically do not have, I mean, they barely have enough people to go into Gaza. Gaza's the size of my neighborhood, right? So they don't, to go into Iran, I mean, that's just an impossibility. They require American boots on the ground to do that, and that's the ultimate goal that they're trying to get over. In the meantime, they got other things on their checklist. Killing the entire government of Yemen in an airstrike. Taking out Venezuela, that's aligned with Hezbollah and Iran, to cut off a source of supply for them, and to, you know, eliminate a foothold that faction has in the Western Hemisphere. See, the core battle that they're involved in is sort of stalled out, and they can't achieve much in that regard right now. They're refueling their Iron Dome missiles and gearing up for the next round. In the meantime, they're sort of taking out everybody on the periphery. That just seems to be the pattern of what's taking place right now. So I think that is more what is going on with Venezuela, because, again, I don't know how you justify going after Venezuela as hard as they have while not going after Mexico or not going after any other country that has been sending just as many, you know, narco-terrorists to our shores. Venezuela, I guess, is a little different because it is literally a matter of national policy for them, where they're just like, oh, we have this huge prison population. I know. We'll send them all to America. But again, the overreaction beggars explanation. It requires a greater justification, because it's a greater action. And I think that justification is more about Israel, again, gearing up for the next phase of their, you know, Greater Israel Project, and in the meantime, taking out all the enemies in the periphery that don't pose an existential or primary threat, but rather a secondary or tertiary, you know, contributions to their enemies. So that's your Daily Dispatch, of course, brought to you by thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. Total War fundraiser sale is on still, and it continues. You're getting 25% off store-wide on all apparel, but we're also offering you buy one, get one half off on the Shilajit Complex gummies or capsules, as well as the Atomic Defense. Plus, we have the Alex Jones War Bonds. Invest in Alex Jones. Get your war bond now for $100 and receive it in the mail with a promo code for $110 in store credit. So we're basically sending you $10 and a cool certificate, which I think is a great deal, and you should probably take advantage of it. Plus, oh, this is new, I think, 40% off all knives and silver coins, including the limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger and the Midnight Rider limited edition silver coin. But you've got to hurry, because this blowout sale ends this week. Maybe your very last day or one of your last days to take advantage of this. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and get 25% off all apparel store-wide. Plus, buy a great buy one, get one free deals on the Shilajit and Atomic Defense, as well as the Alex Jones War Bonds, the knives, the silver coins, all of it available at thealexjonesstore.com. And best of all, you're keeping us on the air and in the fight and changing and evolving and growing and maximizing and metamorphosizing into something greater and more impactful than ever before. Now, I got a lot of videos to show. I got a lot of videos for the crew to censor, too. So let me know when you have these videos censored. I don't know why today's video collection involved a lot of foul-mouthed young women. I don't know why that is, but everybody's pissed, I think. I think maybe everybody's just pissed, which may just be a general sign. I mean, I don't know how South Park nails this stuff as well as they do, but there was the episode that, I won't actually say the word, the S word episode, where they talk about curse words and the whole world like falls apart because the curse words are actually curses and they're all being cursed when they all start cursing more. It's very simple, but like very clever. And I think there's something to it. I think, I bet if you charted it, you would see a pretty much like one-to-one relation to the amount of curse words being used and the just generalized collapse of society. Yeah, I didn't see it yesterday. My sister texted me. I guess in the first like 30 seconds of the Cowboys game, a defensive lineman like spat in the face of the quarterback. And you just see this stuff, you just go, I don't want to sound like some old fogey. I'm not trying to be the Cracker Barrel icon guy sitting on my porch. Just, man, in my days, people respected one another. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, isn't it true? Aren't we seeing just a generalized collapse of just like, I don't know, manners, I guess, etiquette, but all of that is being a reflection of just like general humanity. Look at that. Spit right in his face. Disgusting. Not provoked. And it's just like, I don't know, man. You just see more and more of this stuff. It's just like, what is going on? What's happening to us as we just collapse into like barbarism? It really is sickening. So I don't know. I'm seeing it everywhere. And I'm seeing it in, it used to be like, there are certain things, like if it's a local news report, I know I can just play it where it doesn't have to be censored. Yeah, there it is. So in the first 30 seconds of the game, you know, a teamsman or, you know, a good sportsmanship. What, being a good sport? Screw that. I'll spit in the guy's face because this is so important. Just like, we can't have a civilization that doesn't respect just basic things like sportsmanship. But okay. Because it just goes to everything. It just goes to everything, right? If you can't, you know, lose with honor or win with integrity, that doesn't just stay in sports, right? That's everywhere. That's why we have this society now that just genuinely, I don't think, understands the concept of, like, forgiveness or, like, turning the other cheek. It really is Christian ideals that we're losing very rapidly. But whatever. I mean, it used to be that, like, okay, it's a local news thing. I can play it. I know it's not going to have curse words. Used to be that it's a politician talking. I can play them. I know politicians are careful with their words, just like a news anchor, but not really anymore. Now it's like I can't even play a video of a politician without having to censor it first because everybody's cursing all the time. And that's actually a part of the strategy that the Democrats are pursuing right now. They realize that they have a bit of an issue with authenticity. And so they did a giant study and got a PR firm to tell them how they can appear more legitimate, respectful, and authentic. Because that's how authenticity, you know, authenticity only comes about by, a highly orchestrated campaign by a public relations firm. That's where authenticity comes from. And one of the things that they were told is that curse words make you sound more authentic. They make you sound, in a weird way, more trustworthy. And so, of course, the Democrats, like, they're not as much human beings as they are vessels of deception. And so when you tell them, like, hey, one thing you can, you know, Donald Trump curses and people like that, maybe we can curse. Instead of the Democrats just being like, okay, so maybe next time I'm talking, if I want to curse, I won't censor myself. Instead, they're like, oh, I should curse all the time now? And you got Beto O'Rourke going out and just being like, the effing S is, this is just A. It's all effing A-S. And it's like, guys, can you just be human? Like, just talk normally. But it's like they get an instruction, curse more. And they're just like, okay, better do nothing but curse now. I'll just do nothing but curse. This is what happens when you're robots.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, the last 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like, getting sick of Alec plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. What it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's kept you regressed, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right
now?
I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to, and don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly, where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well,
thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Watching the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I got a lot of videos to show you. And, I don't know, man. I'm very confused by everything. It's like X really is a different world than anywhere else. I was gonna start this segment. I was just thinking about it because there is a big scandal broke yesterday, I believe, where all these MAGA influencers were caught having taken money to promote India in the recent tariff conflict. And a bunch of like the big people did this. But this is like a monthly thing. Like every month it's like revealed that, you know, all these MAGA influencers are all saying exactly the same message because they're all paid to by some organization or another. And they'll even leak the messages. I won't name names because I can't remember exactly who it was. I believe it was one of these big MAGA influencers. That, you know, they just have rates, like, it's like, this is how they make money. They're like, yeah, I do sponsored posts. That's my income source. So if you want me to support something, just tell me what it is. I'll tell you the rate, and then I'll put out a convincing, you know, tweet in my own language to make it seem like I genuinely support whatever this is. And then you see that, you know, 15 different MAGA influencers all more or less said the same thing at more or less the same time, and people put that together, and it's a scandal, and then it gets forgotten, and then the next month it happens again. Now, this case is a little bit different because it's India, which is a foreign state, so it's a little bit more meaningful than, you know, being paid to support Cracker Barrel or whatever else they get paid for. I don't know what they get paid for because I don't do that, and I can't imagine doing that. I genuinely can't imagine being a whore, being a dirty political whore like that, like so many of these other, political activists on X. And it's, I was going to bring it up because of the, just the, sort of explain the frustration and why I think it's important for me in particular, but for everybody, like, to defend InfoWars when people slander us and say that we're controlled. Because we are literally the least controlled. Every other outlet, every media influencer, they're all taking money. They're all being told what to say. They all have sponsorships that they have to uphold, which will probably inform their, you know, coverage. Everybody else is literally just a whore. They're just, they're in the window in the red light district in Amsterdam, flaunting their follower account and telling the Johns the hourly rate. Every single other one. So it's like just one of these things. It's like, why do we get so much crap when, I mean, and I've said it before. I mean, people, you know, say that Alex is controlled by Israel or InfoWars is controlled by Israel. And it's like, you ever heard this little place called the Daily Wire or Prager University or TPUSA or literally every other giant media outlet? Because when you look at them and they're whining and dining Benjamin Netanyahu and telling you the only reason they support America is because it supports Israel, it should be clear who's controlled by who. It's not that hard to figure out, actually. And of course, I just want to thank you, the InfoWars audience, for making it to where I genuinely do not have to, I don't respond to people offering sponsorships. I leave them in red. I don't, if people want me to promote something, I just, we ignore them. Like it really, it's amazing. It's amazing this feeling of just like, as long as I give the InfoWars audience what they want, which is the truth, which is the unvarnished reality of what's going on in a way that is absolutely unencumbered by ulterior motives, as long as I fulfill that order, then we'll be okay. And that is amazing to know that I have literally one guiding light that I can pursue without any other concern for any other monetary or connection, nothing, just nothing. And it's just an amazing and brilliant and a righteous thing I think we're involved in here. So I wondered, I was like, okay, everybody's exposing this on X. And it is pretty interesting. It's pretty, again, telling who is, you know, talking about this happening and who are the ones that took the money to promote India. And I think you should maybe have two charts of, you know, okay, Mike Cernovich is calling out Gunther Engelmann. Mike Cernovich is in the good column. Gunther Engelmann's in the bad column in this case. And it's like everybody's exposing it from 100 different ways. So I just search in Google thinking certainly some mainstream media outlet or leftist media outlet has picked this up and will write an article. You know, MAGA influencers take foreign money, rift in MAGA. You would think they would pick up that story. So I just search MAGA influencers, you know, India. And instead, I get article after article about how MAGA has launched an attack against India and is starting Indian hate. And it's literally like 5 to 10 articles from just today like this. We are full how MAGA influencers are fueling anti-India campaigns amid Trump tariff tensions. Prominent conservative voices in the U.S., mostly with large social media followings, have launched tirades on Indian workers, students, and even call centers. The American right wing seems to have launched an anti-Indian campaign with MAGA influencers fueling a hostile debate on social media with tensions on trade, tariffs, and immigration as rallying points. So this is just my life. I genuinely what is going on? What is going on? What is happening here? The real story is that India paid a bunch of MAGA influencers to be supportive of India, and then they got caught and exposed for that and are now embarrassingly deleting tweets. And then you go on social media, and it's telling you the exact opposite of reality. And I guess we just have to understand that that's the way things are. That's the way things go. But that just, it just happens to me over and over and over again, where like, I see someone, I'm like, oh yeah, well, didn't that happen? I go to search it up, and it's like every media outlet is just either completely ignoring it or completely wrong, completely backwards on how they're covering it. It makes me feel crazy. It makes me feel like an insane person. MSNBC, MAGA world goes off after, goes after Indian Americans again, attacking key Trump voting bloc. Indians in the U.S. are in the crosshairs of Trump-loving extremists yet again, amid the president's falling out with Indian Prime Minister Modi. And, of course, the absurdity of all of this is that it's not hateful to say we don't want to be swamped by an endless supply of Indians. And there's absolutely nothing hateful about that. And nobody else should be, you know, expected to open their door to a population in the billions that seemingly all want to come here and then bring their entire gigantic family. Why would we allow that? And we don't have to necessarily hate the people to just say, no, we don't want to be India. We've seen India. We prefer our place, actually. We prefer when we get on a train for there to be seats to sit on. When given the choice to sit inside the train carriage in a comfortable seat or to be on top of the train with 10,000 other people, we choose to sit inside in the air conditioning. God bless the Indians doing it the way they like doing it, but that ain't us. We don't want it to be us, and it will be us if we become India. So I'm sorry if that feels hateful to you, but You have your own country. Stay there. Nothing hateful about this in the slightest. But keep pushing. And I wonder if I said, I don't know if I saved the post, but there was a post today. It said, Mott meet Bailey. And it was an Indian person just being like, Indians are the greatest, you know, where there's a lot of smart Indians and we just want to come and help and America will flourish. You know, if you let Indians in, and then the next post of theirs, or, you know, another post right next to it, also from the same person, it's like, we will replace all of you. We'll send 400 million people to replace everyone in America, and we'll still have a billion Indians left. You can't stop what's coming. Okay, is it hateful to defend myself against somebody literally waging demographic war against my people? Don't hate. Let them kill. Remember, the greatest defense is to comply, as Canada told us. And Canada is by far out and away the best example of how to be conquered by India through demographics. And can you imagine taking money from that country to try to rig politics in their favor? I can't, personally. Now, we got a lot of other stories to talk about, but I didn't want to bring that up, as once again, we have yet another example of huge swaths of the MAGA ecosystem online being completely bought and paid for, hijacked, and spineless. And once again, InfoWars is not even remotely involved, because why would we be? We're going to go to some videos here. We'll go to clip number three here first. This isn't particularly about Indian immigration to Canada, but it's just about Canada being the dumbest country on the planet. And I think part of that is in the last 5 years, they have opened themselves up to millions upon millions upon millions of Indians coming into that country and providing nothing in return. Let's go to clip number three now.
Canada's officially the dumbest country on the planet, and so are most of the Canadians that voted for this. I'm not even kidding. You guys are so dumb that you don't even realize the police chief is trying to tell you right now to lose all ability for your survival skills. That's the PSYOPs. So if you don't know what's going on, we had a guy break into a home in Welland, Ontario, and rape a five-year-old child. He essayed a five-year-old child while the parents were sleeping. And you want to know what's happened to him? Nothing. He's out on bail. Why? Because Canada loves rapists and criminals just like their entire government. And the people that voted for this are so stupid, you actually deserve this. I hope your homes get doxxed so that these foreign criminals can come in, bend you over just like the government did in 2020 when you complied for this, you little lab rats. And then you called a government on your neighbors and your friends and everything because you're so stupid. If you don't know what's going on, there's been a bunch of gun crime, illegal gun crime, because you took away gun ownership, and by illegals who are now going into homes in Ontario and literally taking whatever they want. And you want to know what the police chief said? He said comply. He said Canadians should comply, and if you don't, we failed as a community. Just listen to this piece of what he says.
But as it stands, we know the best defense for most people is to comply, as you've just heard a number of
just comply, you guys.
Recommendations will allow for those that are victimizing members in the community to leave and not harm anyone.
Why didn't we think of that?
It sometimes can fall on deaf ears when members feel like they have to take matters into their own hands. And the only thing I'd say is, if we are going to rely on our community members to take matters into their own hands to solve this problem, we have all failed our community.
Yeah, you dummy Canadian pieces of comply. You're so racist. If you fight back, you're racist. Ew. Dear women in Toronto who have been getting raped, comply, you dumb bitches. Comply. This is what you voted for. You love this. Equal rights for everybody, right, you guys? If somebody comes into your home, comply like you did in 2020. If they try and rape your children, comply. You know, get the camera out. Have a little fun with it. You're Canadian. You don't deserve to live. You don't deserve to actually, like, fight back. You're just a piece of shit that the government uses as punching bags and tax slaves so that they can keep funding the tax laundering money in the Ukraine. Comply, you stupid. That's what the government is telling you. That is the PSYOPs. And I swear, all of the 70% that, like, did this are gonna listen to this exact same thing because you're dumb. And you're stupid, and you deserve it.
I think I just fell in love. I think I just fell in love, folks. Hide and comply. MAGA lashes out at Canadian law enforcement. Yeah, I could. I get, you know. It's kind of unfair. I can't curse. I would love to go off like that. It's exactly what these people need to hear, I think. I think that's exactly what these people need to hear. Of course, in response to the video we played yesterday, just comply. Just roll over and comply. Yeah, I don't know how much more there is to add to that. But of course, it's a worldwide push now to just shut up and comply. Let's talk about Epstein here for a second. I want to talk about Epstein. I want to talk about, we're obviously going to talk about mRNA with Joseph Sansone and the vaccines and what RFK is doing. We're also going to talk about Israeli censorship. They're going after Wikipedia, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff you need to know about. But let's begin with Epstein here, because we've got some updates from Thomas Massie. We read the story in the Daily Dispatch that Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene are threatening to basically use their immunity as members of Congress to get up on the floor of the Congress and just say the list of people that they know or have been told were involved from the survivors. Here's Thomas Massie, clip number 11, naming one of these names. Let's watch.
Well, let me give you the name of one of the billionaires who's running $2 million of ads in my district since I started this effort. His name is John Paulson. He's a hedge fund manager. and a major donor to the Republican Party, a major donor to the Speaker of the House, a major donor to the president's campaign, and he's in Epstein's black book. Now, that's public, but that's indicative of the types of people who may be implicated or just embarrassed by a release of a complete release of these files.
John Paulson. John Paulson made his fortune betting against subprime mortgages at the peak of the 2007 credit bubble. So good for him. Wow, he's so smart. He must be a really smart guy. John Alfred Paulson is an American billionaire hedge fund manager. He leads Paulson & Co., a New York-based investment firm he founded in 1994. He's been called one of the most prominent names in high finance. He acquired much of his fortune in 2007 when he earned almost $4 billion and was transformed from an obscure money manager into a financial legend by using credit default swaps to effectively bet against the U.S. subprime mortgage lending market. In 2010, Paulson earned $4.9 billion. Forbes estimated his net worth at $3.8 billion as of August 2025. Don't you love the way that people make fortunes now? It's like for a long time, you'd hear like he made his fortune when he set off to California and discovered gold. When he invented a product that people bought. Now it's like he made his fortune in 2007. When he basically bet against America and won. Like, he made his fortune? You think making a fortune, it's like, did he create something? Did he provide any value to anyone ever? No? Oh, no. He basically gambled and won, probably using inside information. Great. Wow. What a hero. He should be in charge of our politics. Paulson was born on December 14th, 1955, third of four children of Alfred G. Paulson. His father was Alfredo Guillermo Paulson in Ecuador, the father of half French, half Norwegian descent and an Ecuadorian mother. That's quite a lineage. And it's one of these things where you study this stuff all day, every day, and you have a pretty good grasp on the vast array of moneyed interests pulling the strings of the American government. And then it's like all of a sudden you'll hear a name that you've never heard before. You're like, who in there? And you'll just hear like, oh, he donates like billions of dollars and has like tons of congressmen and senators in his pocket. It's like, how many of these guys are out there? How many just shadowy billionaires are there that we have to concern ourselves with? You would think at a certain point we'd be able to know all of them. Seems like every day you could come out with a new guy who's been pulling the strings for decades that nobody's ever heard of and has completely avoided any, overt coverage in any media outlet ever. And it's a little bit infuriating. So thanks to Thomas Massey for making us aware of just how prominent this guy is, apparently. Support for Donald Trump. Paulson received media attention when he immediately backed Trump after Trump secured the Republican nomination in 2016. Paulson served as one of the top economic advisors to Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Paulson had established a relationship with Trump prior to the campaign, with Paulson and other investors having sold Doral golf resort and spa to Trump in 2012. Together with his spouse, Paulson contributed $830,000 to Trump's 2020 presidential campaign. He's been a major fundraiser for the 2024 campaign. On April 6, 2024, the Trump campaign self-reported a $50.5 million fundraising haul at John Paulson's Palm Beach house. Trump reportedly considered Paulson to become Secretary of the Treasury, but Scott Bessent was chosen instead. See, he's a philanthropist. He does philanthropy, you understand. In 2024, the Hebrew University of Jerusalem awarded Paulson an honorary doctorate in recognition of his extensive philanthropic contributions to Israeli cultural and educational institutions. His support for Israeli initiatives included a $27 million commitment to the establishment of the Paulson Bar L Building for Computer Science and Engineering at Hebrew University. Paulson also contributed significantly to the Tel Aviv Museum of Art in 2021 to celebrate the museum's 90th anniversary, and has supported the Jerusalem Campus for the Arts. See, normally if you go under early life in Wikipedia, it'll tell you if somebody's Jewish, but they figured out that that was inconvenient to Israel, and so they're systematically removing that and using the American government to go after Wikipedia at the behest of the ADL. We'll go over all of that a little bit later and talk about exactly what Israel is doing in this regard. It's going to be a little bit harder to identify who's Israeli, who's not, when they remove that information from Wikipedia in order to, you know, keep it all under wraps. Paulson, in this case, obviously is involved in that whole world and apparently was in the Epstein Black Book, according to Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey's made some other pretty astonishing statements. We'll go now to clip number 12. Here's Thomas Massey talking to James O'Keefe.
I'll tell you what kept me up last night, like sick to my stomach, was when one of the women recanted her story. Actually, two women, one was in Florida and one was in New York. They basically told the same story. When they were 14, somebody in their high school said, hey, you want to go give a rich guy a massage and get $200? He's got a really nice house and all this. And she says, sure. She goes, the door closes with Jeffrey Epstein. He sexually assaults her. He tells her, whenever I call you, you need to come over here and I'll pay you $200 again. And the thing that makes me sick to my stomach is eventually he said, you got to go back to your high school and bring me another 14-year-old. And the girl admitted that she did it because, and she got $200 for doing it, but she didn't have to get sexually abused if she would bring him somebody else. So not only was there evil being perpetrated on her, she was convinced to do evil or forced to do evil. I think that's disgusting. And then what else we learned, this is very close to that same thing, is that once they got to be like 16 or 17 or 18, they were too old for Jeffrey Epstein. And he would farm them out to friends, not all of them, but some of them. He would facilitate other people to have sex with, sexually abuse them.
And that, boys and girls, is how our government works. And that's how a bill is passed. That's what we need, a new Schoolhouse Rock, to explain how, you know, preteen girls being seduced by billionaires and then being, you know, enthralled to them and actually going out and recruiting other young girls so they could be passed around to wealthy and powerful industry men and politicians so they could have blackmail to do Israel's bidding. And that's how a bill is made. That's how laws get made. That's how our government operates. That's what we call democracy. That's democracy in action, folks.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Trump has a little bit of explaining to do. We've got clip number two here. Why is he hanging out with his greatest enemies, and why is he supporting their dehumanization and depopulation campaigns? What is happening exactly? Why is Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg sitting on either side of the president and the first lady in the White House? I'm a little shocked here. Pretty sure we elected this guy to put Bill Gates in prison. But Bill Gates is now being hosted at the White House and is working with Trump to expand vaccines and do all the other ridiculous crap that we hate him for. So I think we're actively being betrayed. Let's watch.
Well, I'm in the second phase of my career, giving away all the wonderful money that Satya's good work has helped multiply a lot. But I think the thing that ties my first career that I still spend some time on, because AI is so phenomenal, and my second career is innovation, you know, innovating in health in areas like vaccines or gene editing. And the president and I are talking about taking American innovation to the next level to cure and even eradicate some of these diseases. He mentioned polio, which is one that we're close. We don't need new science on that one. For some like HIV and sickle cell, we do need new science, but the U.S. Has the seeds that in the same way that Warp Speed took those seeds and put them together, I think something fantastic can be done. You know, AI for our foundation is that we want a doctor for everyone in Africa through AI. We want farmers to have incredible advice and, you know, kids to have a chance to learn. So the work being done by the people at this table is changing the world. It's, you know, coming fast, so it's great. You know, we all get together and talk about how the U.S. can lead in this key area and apply it even to the poorest outside the U.S. as well as to our great citizens. So thank you for incredible leadership, including getting this group together.
Why is he not in jail? I'm sorry. Why is he not in jail exactly? I'm sorry. Remind me one more time why Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg haven't been tried for crimes against humanity. Tell me why they're at the White House talking about the great new initiatives that they're doing with Donald Trump. Does that have anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein, perhaps? I mean, how does that play into this? I mean, you've got Bill Gates as one of Jeffrey Epstein's best friends. Hell, his wife talked about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein as a primary reason that they got divorced. This is not speculative. He was on the plane dozens and dozens of times. He'd visited the island more often than you've probably visited your favorite vacation place. So how does that tie into this? What is the spin here? I mean, as far as I can tell, this is just total betrayal. Like, I don't know what the 5D chess interpretation of this is, but Donald Trump is now working hand in hand with Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg to increase mRNA technology and to maximize AI distribution. If this isn't just a complete and utter reversal and betrayal of everything we voted for Trump for, or maybe like the last remaining thing that we still trusted Trump with. Obviously, the Ukraine war hasn't ended. The Iran conflict was completely in betrayal of his statements on the campaign. And now he's eating dinner and launching initiatives with Bill the world's overpopulated gates. What is there even to say about this? I think we've been betrayed, folks.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before I work my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, thealtruistwork.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the Methylene Blue, bare minimum, thealtruistwork.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Gentlemen, this is the second hour of American Journal, and I'm very happy to be joined by my guest, Dr. Joseph Sansone, MS, PhD. He's a psychotherapist who has filed an injunction, which is now on appeal in the state of Florida, to prohibit the distribution of mRNA injections. You can follow his Substack at josephsansone.com, and you can follow him at PhD Sansone on X. And of course, he's been visiting American Journal regularly to give us updates in his attempt to rescue America from the weapon of mass destruction that is the mRNA shot. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Harrison. I appreciate it. I think we're trying to stop whatever's being planned at that dinner party at the White House last night. I think that'd be a fair assessment. Because that was a betrayal for sure.
So let's touch on that before we get into, you know, where your case is, since we just played the clip. I mean, is there any innocent explanation for this? I mean, why is Donald Trump, President Trump, announcing initiatives in collaboration with Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg to, you know, pursue health initiatives? I mean, what is your take on this?
Well, I mean, let's face it. Operation Warp Speed was treason and an act of war against the American people and the world at large. Who's behind it? Who planned it, et cetera? We're not totally sure. But there's no reasonable explanation for that dinner party. And that does actually tie in indirectly to what's going on here in Florida, because I'm going to actually tell you something that has not been said anywhere else about why President Trump came out with his Truth Social post. And a bunch of people were in a tizzy about, because he was slowly pivoting on Operation Warp Speed. What he was really doing there was two things, and he does this all the time, the administration. They give mixed messaging to feed the cognitive dissonance-induced denial for some people, so they have something to cling to, and they'll ignore things like this dinner party. But also, even in that post that President Trump did put out there, what he was doing there was attempting to reestablish plausible deniability for himself, which he lost on day two of the administration when he did his thing with Stargate and the AI and MRA. But here's the important thing to recognize. My friend and colleague, Dr. Andrew Zivjits, he's a medical doctor, and he's the lead author on a paper that came out. The paper it's a peer-reviewed scientific journal in the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. The title of the paper is COVID-19 Injections, Harms and Damages, a Non-Exhaustive Conclusion. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see I actually filed it in my case. But I happened to be on the phone with Dr. Zivjits on Wednesday, about, 12:30 a.m. So on the 28th on Thursday, I posted a short story about this paper, And then I sent it over to a reporter at Children's Health Defense. They picked it up. So it got out there. This paper, cause I happened to be talking to him right when it came out. And so I posted at like 2 a.m. in the morning on Thursday the 28th. This is a peer reviewed scientific journal article that clearly states that both the virus and the quote unquote vaccine violated the Biological Weapons Convention. Now, you and I know that because we got Dr. Francis Boyle's affidavit saying that, the law professor, and if you even see where I filed in my case, if you scroll all the way down, you can see the paper. And this has major authors on this paper. Dr. Andrew Zivsitz, Dr. Merivik Vila, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Merrick, and so on. There's 11 authors on that paper, all very highly qualified people. And they've got 154 citations in there. Now, Dr. Zivsitz was the lead author on it. Dr. Zivsitz, he along with Dr. Vila last July of 2024 said that these COVID injections were biological weapons, along with myself at an event with Dr. Latipo was at. And so, we've got a lot going on here. But I'm going to tell you right now, the reason President Trump put out that Truth Social post, in my opinion, is because of that scientific paper. And he needs to reestablish plausible deniability because this isn't going away because people continue to get sick and die. It's just, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, you're right. And the Truth Social that you're talking about is Donald Trump saying, was Operation Warp Speed good or bad? You know, tell me, I hear it's good. And, you know, the pharma companies say it's good, but they don't provide those numbers to the public, which is a little weird way of phrasing it or putting it. You don't think that was sincere at all? You don't think he's actually questioning Operation Warp Speed at all?
No, he's attempting to reestablish plausible deniability in case he needs to. Again, a peer-reviewed scientific journal just came out, an article stating that these violated the Biological Weapons Convention. So that went through a blinded process. They didn't know who the authors were. And, you know, remember, scientific papers are like a dissertation, they're always understated. So when they're saying this violated the Biological Weapons Convention, they're saying head for the hills.
Right.
I think that paper, because his people in his administration saw that paper. I know they did. And I think that influenced why he put that. It might not have been the only reason. I think the stuff going on with Kennedy and some of the turmoil is part of it. But I think that paper was part of the reason why he's trying to reestablish plausible deniability. And no, I don't think it's sincere. I think he does a lot of double speak. And he's been doing it, since he's been in office. He does it a lot. Right. And it gives people something to cling to, and they can ignore the other stuff he's doing. It's deliberate. I think it's by design.
Well, and, you know, obviously if this, you know, paper is picked up and goes mainstream, and if the belief is that this was a bioweapon, he'd kind of be on the hook as the one releasing it. So I can see why he would want to, put up a defense or try to establish plausible deniability, like you put it. So that's upsetting. It's sort of annoying. But and there's the story, by the way. You can find this on Dr. Sansone's Substack, josephsansone.com. It's called Mind Matters and Everything Else with Dr. Joseph Sansone. And the article that he's referencing there, journal article stating the virus and vaccine is a violation of the Biological Weapons Convention, filed as a supplementary authority in appeals case to prohibit mRNA because they are bioweapons. So that's your case. This is what you've been coming on American Journal to give us updates on, trying to stop the killing, stop the injection of these dangerous shots by labeling them what they are, a biological weapon. What is the latest in that effort, sir?
Well, and I do want to touch on the World Council of Health thing too, but in my case, I'm still waiting to hear from the appellate court. I filed like a week or two ago, I filed Secretary Kennedy's statement as a supplemental authority from Health and Human Services, where he basically said the shots did not work for the flu or COVID, and the risks outweigh the benefits. And I filed that, and I'm arguing that at least from that moment forward, that shows criminal intent that they're still on the market.
Right.
And so I'm using that in my case as well. And then this paper I filed in my case, because now we've got, you know, a scientific journal backing up what Dr. Boyle's affidavit said and what my brief says. And today I'm actually going to be filing Dr. Latipo's transcript from his statement recently in my case. A little bit this afternoon I'll be filing that. And what the Surgeon General of Florida has done is he's moved forward and he's moving to prohibit all vaccine mandates in the state of Florida. Now, the when you're talking about mandates, anything to do with COVID and the mRNA injections, that's a psychological operations. They're weapons. But what he's doing is good because it applies to all vaccines. So if you have kids going to school, they can't force them to get vaccines. So what Surgeon General Lottepo is doing, he's letting loosen some of the rules that he can do, which will get rid of some of the mandates, and then they need some legislation to finalize it. But I think that's an important step. But what he did in his speech, though, and what he actually did, though, there's a point in that speech, if you look at the transcript, where he literally says that the COVID mRNA injections were a poison. So wow. He was speaking not on Tucker Carlson. He was speaking at a press event in his official capacity as Surgeon General of the state of Florida with the appellee defendant, Governor DeSantis, standing right over there in the corner. And he said it's a poison. If you look at Florida statute 790.166, when you look at the definitions and the biological agents and chemical agents in there, it uses the term poisonous. So he literally just threw out the legal definition in our weapons of mass destruction law. And so I will be filing this as a supplemental authority in my case, because I think it's important to continue to establish that all of the issues that my original case were denied on, there were errors if you recognize the fact that these are actually weapons. And now the state of Florida is basically officially saying that they're poisons. Am I missing something?
Right. No, that is... really something incredible. So the announcement that he just made was all mandates were dropped, all vaccine mandates. It wasn't specifically about mRNA, but this is another step towards just sort of reclaiming this whole system and getting it away from the, you know, completely, you know, artificially constructed demands that you, you know, shove all this stuff in your children's veins. Now, the latest or one of the latest stories, you published so much on your Substack. It's like I thought this would be the latest, but it's only from 4 days ago. Yeah, 4 days ago. World Council for Health Florida declares mRNA nanoparticle injections biological and technological weapons of mass destruction, endorses Sansone mRNA Bioweapons Prohibition Act. The World Council for Health in Florida appears to be the first medical slash health freedom organization to declare mRNA nanoparticle injections biological and technological weapons of mass destruction, and the first such organization to endorse the Sansone mRNA Bioweapons Prohibition Act. And that's the World Council for Health Florida that declared this in a pretty long statement, really backing up everything that you say. Tell us what brought this about.
Well, Dr. Vila is the president of the World Council of Health Florida, and she kind of put me on her advisory board, and about 10 minutes later, this is what I advised her to do. And I think it's important because this is the first health freedom organization telling the truth. And the global World Health Council, put this press release on their website too. So they're not against it or anything. They seem supportive of it. I think it's important because it might help me get my bill introduced here in Florida. And I think we need to put pressure on some of these so-called health freedom organizations because they've all been afraid to say it's a bioweapon. That's why I appreciate you allowing me to come on, because so many people are afraid to have me on. Because not just I don't just talk about it, I'm actually trying to do something. But what about, you know, some of these other big health freedom organizations? Are they gonna join the World Council for Health and say that these are bioweapons? Are they going to endorse my bill? Are they going to just sit on the sidelines and get your money to get your emails to do fundraising and, you know, that kind of thing? Are they going to actually try to support to stop the mass murder that's happening? Right. And so I encourage people not to support or donate to any health freedom organization or medical freedom organization or candidates that don't say that these are weapons and are going to stop them.
Yeah, it's like they'll acknowledge that it fulfills all of the requirements to be a bioweapon, but they won't, you know, actually put that label on it. They'll, yeah, it was man-made, and yeah, it's, you know, it has all these problems, and it causes mass death. And the people that did it knew it because they covered up the results of some of the testing that would have exposed that this was the case. But let's not call it a bioweapon. It's like, well, but it fulfills all of the prerequisites to be a bioweapon, so why would you not call it that? And again, it's good that some organizations are. In an official health bulletin, the Florida Department of Health has stated that mRNA is not safe for human use and is a potential threat to the human genome. In addition, an explosive new peer-reviewed journal article with multiple prominent researchers shows that COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccines violate the Biological Weapons Convention. It is incumbent on the governor and attorney general of the state of Florida to enforce Florida Statute 790.166, Weapons of Mass Destruction. And this, of course, is, again, I'm reading from your article on your Substack, josephsansone.com. So this, you know, what you're trying to do is not just about stopping the COVID shots. It's about stopping all of the other shots that they're planning. That has to do with what Bill Gates and Donald Trump are talking about right now. They're ready to unleash mRNA on everything, on livestock, on us for, you know, cancer. I mean, everything they want, you know, carried on this technology. But what you're doing would stop all of the future development as well, wouldn't it?
Yes, because the way it's described in there, I think it would apply to the self-amplifying mRNA as well, the way it's described in the bill. So, yeah, it would. The thing is if they're going to unleash that on us, we need to unleash hell on them.
Yeah.
You can't be more loyal to the slogan or the look, you can't be America first and look the other way while they're murdering your friends and family. I mean, that's what's happening. Most people, Harrison, will die from these shots. They will have a shortened lifespan because of these shots, because of the chronic illnesses. And if you look at that one paper where I did actually file that paper in my pleadings, I at the end of that, I actually have the paper there, the scientific paper. It's not that long, but if you're in there, the part on the immune system, they show some of the preliminary data from Dr. Vila's research, and over 74% of the people who got the injections have immune system problems, even if they're asymptomatic. So we're looking at VAIDs, and you're going to see more cancers, more different. So, and this isn't to scare people, but, you know, and I point out, I have type 1 diabetes. On average, the lifespan is less, 15 years less than if I didn't have it. And throw in a heart condition, you know, Harrison, I might make it through your show. But you have two people, they're identical twins. Just give them one of them asthma. They're not going to live as long as the one without the asthma, right? Right. So you don't have to be that, you know, a scientist or a medical doctor to figure this out. And we've got studies that have come out to show that the lifespans can be reduced as much as 37%. So you give these shots to these little kids, they're going to be lucky to be 50. But what if, so you're a 30-year-old and you got the shots and you live to be 55. Well, guess what? You were murdered.
Mm.
And they want to normalize illness and sickness to the point as this goes on, we don't realize what's going on.
Right.
And we cannot let that happen. We cannot let that happen. And I think it's, I think this is important that the World Council for Health has had the courage to stand up and tell the truth. I think it's important. Look, we don't need this bill. If Governor Ron DeSantis would do his job, I wouldn't have to sue him. We wouldn't need this bill. But I do have a version, you know, if people would do their job, we wouldn't need it. But I do have a version for all 50 states. The bill is unique because it recognizes the injections are already illegal and it creates a criminal and civil liability for non-enforcement. So, it's recognizing their already weapons are already illegal. And these other bills out there that they're putting out there to get rid of the shots, they're not recognizing that the shots are already illegal.
Right.
I don't know what else. I got an affidavit from the law professor who wrote the law under penalty of perjury. What else can you do? Right. And at some point, someone has to have some honor and some integrity. And we're not seeing it from the White House. Sorry, we're not.
Well, definitely not with him hanging out with Bill Gates and you know, the Larry Ellison AI mRNA programs that you know, Trump is very excited about, apparently. I mean, what do you think? What do you think they're going to do with it from here on out? Why are they so interested in getting mRNA to be the next big thing? I mean, I think it's pretty clear that at least one of the primary drivers of launching the COVID virus in the first place was to encourage everybody or to have an event that would force everybody to go over to this new form of vaccine. I mean, they pretty much said that verbatim. Why are they so desperate to get this type of vaccine everywhere? I mean, what is it about mRNA that makes it such a golden goose for them?
I think it just ties into this broader technocracy that they're trying to create, where they're trying to just totally enslave humanity. I do think it's about depopulation, and I do think it's about transhumanism, merging humanity with technology. I think these people are that twisted and sick. But look at it with the AI The AI allows a small amount of people to put more leverage over more people. You know, how long before, you know, we have this debate. Every time they want to start a war, they're okay bombing people and people are okay doing that, even though they don't realize you're just killing innocent people. But then when it gets a little hot, we have this debate about sending ground troops. Well, what happens when the robots are the ground troops, AI-controlled robots, or that's what we see as law enforcement? So it allows a small amount of people to create more leverage over more people. And these AI database centers are sucking up energy. They're going to be driving up our electricity costs. People will end up losing their jobs to the AI, and then they're going to want to put you on a universal basic income so you can sit in your little cubicle in your little 15-minute city. Well, they can go to hell.
Yeah.
We need to fight back. This is about our species. With the mRNA injections, you know, we've seen lower birth rates. You know, there's fertility issues. We've seen increased infant mortality, reduction in lifespans. There's heart problems. There's neurological problems, autoimmune problems. And for some reason, they've committed to this technology. I don't know the surveillance level of this technology. Some people will advocate that there's actually tracking in it.
But that's what sort of makes it different, right? It's a platform. It is a technological, biological platform that gives them basically write access, code access to rewrite the code of the DNA or the genomic construct of whatever the thing is. So, what else does that give them the ability to do? It's just such a sci-fi, level. I could see why you'd be excited about it. If you believe in this stuff, I can see why this would be exciting. Wow, it's a platform. You can just code in the virus and then print out a million vaccines. Isn't that amazing? But it's about more than that, isn't it? It's about making humanity and nature itself programmable, because these people really don't like having to compete with God when it comes to controlling the universe, right? I mean, there's really something spiritual going on there, isn't there?
There's a hatred of God, and there's a hatred of self and a hatred of humanity.
Yeah.
That's what's behind this. And these people, ultimately, I mean, I hate to use the phrase, but basically they're godless communists, even though they're billionaires. But, that's the world we're living in. I got to go use Yandex, a Russian search engine, to find American websites.
Right.
And we've got billionaire communists, but that's just where we're at. But these people do not, they're mechanists. They're materialists. I'm not talking financially. I mean, they literally believe that this is it. Like, you're a fool if you think you're your body. Okay.
Right.
You're just a total fool. You don't have a clue. But so this is like the ultimate Faustian deception. They're trying to find a way to live forever.
Yep.
And if they succeeded, you'd be trapped in this dimension. But in the process, they're experimenting on us. And they want total control over everything. I live in Southwest Florida. I'm going to tell you the last few years here, we don't have clear sunny skies anymore. We have hazy skies. Like, today's a hazy sky like you'd see in New Jersey.
Right.
We never had that here. And it's because they're spraying. So it's hard for people to grasp when you're dealing with these psychopathic authoritarians, because they're not normal. They're not like you or I.
Right.
These are people that want to control everything. They're control freaks. They're fear-based. And they're sadistic. They have a sadistic pleasure in creating pain. When they humiliated people wearing those face diapers and following the little lines on the floor, or they got a kick out of that.
Right.
They enjoyed that. And giving people chronic diseases and illnesses where they're going to go through this painful process of death, they're enjoying this.
I can't disagree with you. And you're right that, you bring up chemtrails, and when you really start looking into it, you start looking into the way they're manipulating the food, food processes and how we get our food and the fake meats and they're literally making a play to take over and control nature like it's a computer program of theirs. And it's really sickening. And these little changes, most people won't even notice until maybe you point it out and you go, hey, remember when there used to be clear skies? And they'll go, oh, yeah, I did used to be able to see for a long time. I wasn't always boxed in by fog that, restricted my vision and, destroyed the beauty of the world. These people really are sick. And so, while we try to sort of contend with all of it, and it's so massive, it can be overwhelming, I'm so happy that we have people like you, Dr. Joseph Sansone, hyper-focused on one of these attacks, trying to deal with it, trying to stop it, trying to get some justice for what's been done to us. Thank you so much for everything that you do, folks. Follow Joseph Sansone at josephsansone.com. He has a Substack that I encourage you to follow. He publishes a lot there, and he's on X as well. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Sansone.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
My pleasure, and we await the next update. Hopefully it's victory.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more, the natokinase and the serapeptase. Those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products of all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls for the second half of this show. I'm going to keep talking a little bit about what Bill Gates is doing with Donald Trump, connected to some other developments during Trump's administration. We just have so much to talk about. Goldman Sachs is working with T. Rowe the investment company, to compete with the offerings from the likes of BlackRock. So we're seeing the retirement accounts now opened up to these investment companies, and they have suddenly a gigantic pool of cash to steal from and invest with. So that's happening, of course, is what we were warning about with Tiffany Cianci. It has begun. We've got censorship and surveillance coming hot and fast, folks. AI startup Flock thinks it can eliminate all crime in America with 80,000 AI-powered cameras across the U.S. Well, great. Great. Combine that with Gideon, the pre-crime technology, and that's your digital panopticon. And you also have a story out of InfoWars. England trials smartphone rail payment system with real-time phone location tracking. New GPS-based rail fare system is set to launch in England that will track passengers' movements via their smartphones and charge them after the fact, eliminating the needs to buy tickets up front. While it's being promoted as a step towards a simpler, more efficient travel experience, the system fundamentally relies on real-time location tracking, drawing attention to the increasing role of surveillance in routine public services. And, like, the technology to do this stuff has been there forever. I guess the question is, why are they launching it all right now? I mean, in the last 3 months or so, especially in the UK, but really around the world, we have seen all of this stuff being put into place. All of the big tech companies suddenly and in a unified fashion decided they would start independently verifying your age and verifying your identity. The digital identity, I mean, we had Keir Starmer say to stop illegal immigration, we have to do digital ID. But also we have to use digital ID to stop kids from finding forums that tell them to commit suicide. But also we're going to use it entirely to, you know, censor factual content about the migrant rape gangs that happened in the UK. But you've got the Gideon program, you know, pre-crime that apparently has been already been signed up for by, you know, dozens of American cities. We've got the digital Iron Dome program that they're rolling out in Western countries, including Germany and America. So our entire cybersecurity is now in the hands of the Israelis who are using a Israeli ontology to, you know, control the world through AI. You've got this, rolling out of stuff like this, the smartphone rail payment system. We've got the UK announcing a de facto social credit score where non-crime hate incidents will see you banned from going to a stadium to watch a ball game or a concert or even the pub down the street. You'll just be prevented from going there. It's not a social credit score, but if you dare to counter signal the prevailing sentiments, then you will be banned from spending time with your friends. That's a social credit score. I mean, I can't even, it's just off the top of my head. Like, it has been a constant deluge of this crap. And it's all related and it's all intertwined and it's all happening at the exact same time for very much the same reason. I think overall, the real, you know, method behind this, the real purpose behind all of this is gearing up for war. I think they're trying to get all of this stuff in place before they launch World War III. Because once that gets launched, then all of the censorship programs that have been in place can be, you know, actuated, applied to anything ever, right? Anybody, anything anybody says, you can delete from the internet, say that was hateful or it was enemy propaganda, because it's not just, you're not just being hateful now, you're not just a bigot, now you're an enemy agent by spreading information we don't want you to spread. And they'll have all of these things in place to identify you, track you down, iris scanners that can scan your eye at 100 feet. I mean, all of this surveillance technology is being rolled out in such rapid and ubiquitous fashion. You've got to look at everything askance now. I mean, it's impossible to compartmentalize this movement because AI is deeply involved. Surveillance and, you know, privacy is deeply involved. They're predicating a lot of it on illegal immigration. That brings that in. Of course, you've got AI and mRNA technology combining to represent probably one of, if not the greatest threat to our continuing existence. And again, all this happening all at once, all intertwined, all serving one another, and all moving towards the same end, which is total control of humanity, as they attempt to set up a one-world government, which they'll only be able to achieve through a widespread war, that they'll only be able to start if they control the messages, if they control the sentiment. I mean, you even have people on Telegram now having their Telegram channels deleted. Telegram used to be pretty much totally open. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody being canceled off Telegram. Maybe like CSAM material would get you knocked down if it was found out, but it's all encrypted. I mean, it was a very safe place to discuss just about anything. But now we're seeing, you know, anti-war channels be deleted by Telegram. This only after they arrest the Telegram CEO in France and hold him, basically blackmailing him to get the encryption keys so they can, you know, have control over just one of the social media outlets that they don't fully control. They're really on a full-fledged push for total control right now in a variety of different ways. And the surveillance and the censorship only contributes to their overall method their overall ultimate goal of starting a third world war and reorganizing the globe itself into a one-world technocratic government. So let's visit in on one of these meetings. We'll go to clip number 20 here. This is from a really great show called Redacted. Talking about while RFK Jr. is battling it out with Bill Gates, you know, underlings in the CDC and HHS, his boss, Donald Trump, is rolling out the red carpet for Bill Gates himself. Let's watch.
So while Gates' operatives, though, are being escorted out of the building, though, Bill Gates himself was being, escorted into the White House last night for dinner with President Trump. You can't make this up. No press, no visitor logs, no photos were allowed. Yes, the close friend of Jeffrey Epstein and vaccine pusher on unwitting Africans met with President Trump in a closed-door session that reportedly lasted 3 hours. Again, no press allowed, no photos allowed. Then on the very same day, the FDA quietly revoked emergency use authorization for mRNA COVID shots, only to then reauthorize them for infants as young as 6 months and the broader at-risk population. So in one afternoon, they pull it, then put it back. What the hell is going on here? The timing is no coincidence. Secretary Kennedy said this, I promised 4 things, to end COVID mandates, to keep vaccines available to people who want them, demand placebo-controlled trials from companies, and to end the emergency.
Okay, but these things are contradictory, and I wrote this out in the newsletter if you'd like to refer to it, because he's saying, I'm ending emergency use for the broader population, but the FDA issued an approval for people who are 65 or over with a pre-existing condition. Now, Pfizer wrote this in their press release about it. They're saying that the COVID vaccine from Pfizer was approved based on the, listen to it, this is how they do a sleight of words, based on the, quote, cumulative body of evidence supporting the safety and efficacy of the Pfizer COVID vaccine, including clinical trial data supporting the approval for children 5 through 11 years of age. Now, see what they did there? It's not based on clinical trials, which he just promised in that tweet. It's based on the idea of a clinical trial, not a direct clinical trial. So in the same tweet, he's saying, I'm revoking this for the general population. I'm putting full authorization for these populations, but they are not, I repeat, not based on clinical trials. They're based on the cumulative body of evidence. So they're just like pulling pages out of a book and sticking it together and saying, this is good. This is why what we can use. That's not what we were promised. And you know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
So again, Bill Gates in the White House, these weird approvals coming through. I don't know. We'll see exactly what happens, but we'll be watching that story.
Indeed.
Yeah. It's very troubling. And of course, this has been a consistent theme for the entirety of Trump's administration. As Dr. Joseph Sansone pointed out, it was 2 days into his administration that this headline broke. Stargate AI project could help create cancer mRNA vaccine, Oracle CEO Larry Ellison says. Donald Trump says the project will create more than 100,000 American jobs. Massive artificial intelligence infrastructure bill, of course, tied in with mRNA and being run by like the king globalist himself, Larry Ellison, who's very, very high up on that totem pole. We'll go to clip number six here. Because again, just like we were kind of saying with Joseph Sansone, like, I like that other organizations can hyper-focus on just one aspect of what is killing the world, but we try to keep abreast of all of it and just know that all of it is, again, deeply intertwined. And the sense I get, sort of like stepping back and taking the 30,000-foot view, is like, I don't think people understand the, like, biblical nature of the attack that we're under right now. That it's not just every human being is under attack. It's not just that they are and have tried desperately to change laws, to use a monopoly of force to compel you to put something in your body that permanently alters your DNA and will therefore alter the DNA of your children forever and also spreads to other people. But they're doing it to livestock too, and they're doing it to wild animals too, and they're talking about releasing ticks or mosquitoes who can act as vaccine needles and go infect people with stuff that they want you to have. I mean, then you talk about the Chinese fishing fleets destroying all of the fish in the ocean and blocking out the sun by spraying particles in the air while simultaneously brightening clouds, which I would think would only increase the greenhouse gas effect. I mean, it's just, honestly, to take it all in, and it's all, again, it's all connected. And we might sound crazy jumping from, you know, chemtrails to mRNA to AI to Gaza, and it's like, but it's all deeply intertwined. It's all moving in exactly the same direction in opposition to the will of the vast majority of humanity. And it's enslaving humanity and destroying the natural world wholesale. Wholesale. And you see the consequences of it everywhere. And again, it's just, it's almost impossible to understand. You know, it's like when they ask, you know, how many people does it take to get a banana, you know, into your house? And it's like, once you start thinking about how it's not, you know, because once you talk about the truck that's driving the banana, well, you also got to talk about all the people that build the truck and all the people that provide the fuel for the truck and who's taking care of the roads. And it's like, it just spirals out and out and out. And it's just, I feel that about every single one of these stories. This one in particular, we'll go to clip number six here. A crab boat fisherman on the Chesapeake Bay, just outside of Baltimore and Washington, D.C., has made an alarming discovery. Let's watch.
Can anybody tell me what the number one problem on the Chesapeake Bay is?
Well, we're in the upper part of the Chesapeake Bay today, and we're starting to see dead crab. Look at all this beautiful, nice crab. Dead crab. Could it have anything to do with this right here?
These five sewage treatment plants put hundreds of millions of gallons of wastewater into the bay every single day. This wastewater is full of nitrogen and phosphorus, which causes algae blooms. When the algae dies, bacteria consumes the algae and also the oxygen in the water.
We get these huge dead zones in the bay. This year we had it all the way into 5 foot of water. It's killing crabs. It's killing fish. It wipes out the bottom. Oysters, clams, mussels, anything that can't run away and hide is killed because there's zero oxygen in the water. When are we going to do something about this? Inquiring minds want to know.
We're doing a lot about that, okay? We're spraying aluminum into the upper atmosphere, all right? That should help, I would think. You know, Bill Gates has an initiative to cut down trees and bury them, so will that help? I mean, we have radioactive shrimp. We got crabs dying by the millions. We got Chinese fishing fleets driving around denuding the ocean of life. And we've got every environmental organization in the world hyper-focused on shutting down coal power plants in Germany. Anybody else feel like they're being tricked? Anybody out there who's dedicated to climate change, do you want to consider the fact that you might be the subject of a prank here? A giant prank while they are systematically destroying the national world, the natural world in every possible way they can, they have you panicking and having anxiety over global warming. Five sewage plants just churning out. And so, you know, it's like, what is the cause of that? Is it overpopulation? Because our population just keeps growing. We just keep adding more people here, which is a little odd because our birth rate is in the negative. So that's clearly a matter of policy, right? If it's just the sheer amount of people creating all the waste that we just don't even know what to do with, why are they all here and where did they come from? They aren't us. Because we're dying out. It's not Americans. Somehow our cities just keep growing and growing and expanding and overwhelming our infrastructure because we can't put any money into it because we're spending money teaching kids to be gay in Ghana or whatever else. Is it because we don't have adequate water treatment processes? Are we not putting enough money or technology into that? Or is it that these sophisticated systems have to have sophisticated people and we've been hiring people based on their race, sex, gender, or orientation for a long time? And maybe just you cut corners enough over and over year, decade over decade. And eventually, even if you once had superior infrastructure that could handle things, it's not running at the capability it needs to be. And the people who run it don't understand how it operates and can't improve it. Could be that as well. I guess there's lots of, could it be that the waste itself is now contaminated with a gigantic array of psychoactive drugs that make it toxic sludge rather than just sludge? It could be a million things, could be a billion things. All we know is nobody cares. Nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's looking into it. Because it's not profitable, because it doesn't have to do with climate change. It doesn't have to do with global warming. It doesn't have to do with the thing that you can use to justify eradicating meat consumption or enslaving humans or taxing carbon. You know, that's the ultimate goal. That's all they actually care about. They just use environmentalism as the sheep's clothing to convince you what they're doing is somehow good for you when it is clearly, flagrantly meant to enslave or destroy you. Because if any of these people genuinely cared about the environment at all, it would be this type of stuff we'd be hearing endlessly about. It'd be the radioactive shrimp we'd be hearing endlessly about. It'd be atrazine and gay frogs that Al Gore would be making documentaries about. It would be the Chinese fishing fleets or the algae blooms that do not have to do with rising temperature and cannot be hijacked to tax you more. So again, as you look at everything, I see it all combined. I don't see any of these things as distinct or separate. It's all just the same push, and anything that is sort of not directly related to it is usually related. It's either a distraction from what's actually happening or it's, you know, tangentially related to it. But it's just happening relentlessly. I'm going to open up the phones for your calls in the next hour. Give us a call, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Like I said, we're going to get into a lot of this other stuff, including a lot of stuff about Israel and Wikipedia, and there's sort of a fascinating conflict going on there. But I figure since we were talking about the UK and London, I want to go to clip number 14 here. I thought this was a really kind of brilliant insight into the incompatibility of Islam with liberalism. But it's bigger than that. It's wider than that. It's a guy from Dubai answering the question as to why the Muslims in the UK are so much more likely to be an extremist than people in Muslim countries. And he has a very insightful answer. Let's watch.
Some of the comments you've made. Why is it that you believe there are more radical Islamists in a place like Britain than there is in your own country?
The question is, why is it that when a Muslim lives in Dubai, he's more liberal, but when a Muslim lives in London, he's more extremist? Why is it that you have the fact that if an Orthodox Jew, after the 7th of October, still wanted to walk in the street of Dubai, Abu Dhabi, anywhere in the UAE after the 7th of October, he actually identified himself as a Jew. Mm. And where's his kippah or Orthodox identity? Yet he cannot do that in various areas in Birmingham, for example, in Small Heath, in Sparkbrook, in various areas in UK. This should be questioned. It's not a matter of freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that people in Britain have reached a moment where they cannot express their perspective, their opinion, at any stage, at any point, in the name of the fact that they censor them under the umbrella of Islamophobia. Mm-hmm. But it's on that terminology has been used to prevent any person speaking about the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood are the armed forces. The armed forces of Muslim Brotherhood is Hamas. Mm-hmm. And we saw what Hamas carried in terms of terrorism and so on. So yes, if all the way in Gaza, the humanity still has some hostages there, all the way in London, you have various generation, mm-hmm. a new generation who are hostages of that propaganda, of Hamas propaganda, the Muslim Brotherhood's propaganda. It's quite dangerous. It's and devastating, and it's quite a dark time. I mean, to the point when you speak to a British person at this stage, at this point, they always look at yesterday and they don't tell you about tomorrow. They're scared of tomorrow. When they want to look into the light, mm-hmm. they look at yesterday, mm. not today. And this is a Britain where Britain's message was always tomorrow.
Yes.
So I thought it was a very interesting insight in that basically the fear of insulting Muslims stops people from criticizing them at all, which means that the moderate Muslims are being protected just as much as the extremist Muslims. And the extremist Muslims are able to, lean on that and use that label of Islamophobia to get away with spreading extreme messages and avoiding anybody speaking back against them. And of course, that's what we see. I mean, whoever figured out that you could just label something as hate to stop people from talking about it, that's the most brilliant invention in human subjugation since the whip, right? When you convince people not to talk about the outrageous behavior of a group or an individual because of who that group is or what they believe, that really started the ball rolling that would end in the total destruction of Europe. It pretty much has to. And of course, it's the same thing to do with anti-Semitism. It's the same thing they do with homophobia or Islamophobia. Because when you use that label, you're not making any distinction between the guy who goes out and, beats up gay people because he just literally hates them and, is actually homophobic, and, a man in a dress teaching preschool kids to twerk. And it's like, these are the same. If you criticize one, you're criticizing the other. If you're doing the one, you might as well be doing the other. And so then we cannot actually talk about the excesses of these groups. It's brilliant.
I've been hearing about this for years. And now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at theauctionstore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? Well, you got that email. And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum, and it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular recovery and defense matrix. It's also incredible for gut health, and flora. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle Recovery Aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and Energy Balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin Defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals. Enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.
Welcome back, folks. This is the third hour of American Journal. We're going to take your phone calls this hour. But in this first little five-minute segment, I want to go to a special video by friend of the show, Alex Newman. He was on with Glenn Beck discussing the digital gulag being built around us right now. This clip was posted by Camus at newstart_2024 on X. He says this, the global digital gulag is being built right now, and it's being called 50 in 5. The United Nations Development Program, in partnership with Bill Gates, has officially launched a terrifying new initiative. The goal is to strong-arm 50 governments into implementing full digital public infrastructure on their populations within 5 years. And all of this stuff is, of course, being tested and has been tested over the last few years. COVID was a major testing ground. Ukraine has been a major testing ground. Gaza has been a major testing ground. And, of course, all of Western Europe has been a major testing ground, as has America. Here's Alex Newman on Glenn Beck talking about this horrifying global initiative to create a one-world government. It's the next step. Here it is.
Talk to me about the 50 in 5 plan.
So the UN has partnered with Bill Gates on this, what they call digital public infrastructure. It's a very fancy term. And I think the simplest way to understand it is they're building a giant digital gulag for all of humanity. So the UN Development Program has officially launched this. It was officially launched at the end of last year, where they're going to get 50 governments, they call them countries, but really they mean governments, to impose at least some major element of this digital public infrastructure on their population within 5 years. So 2028.
Passports.
Digital IDs. Mm-hmm. And those are already emerging. In fact, many states are developing these. I just went through the airport yesterday. You can scan your digital ID QR code, right? So that's happening.
And that's really one of the main reasons for the COVID.
Absolutely.
Nonsense.
The architecture that was laid down is the backbone of this global control grid that they're building. So then you've got the central bank digital currencies, which are already being unveiled. They've already been released. The World Economic Forum just said a few days ago, 98% of the governments and central banks in the world are working on these CBDCs. Once they're fully operational, I guarantee you, they're going to start waging war on cash much more openly. They'll say it's a tool for terrorists and pimps and you know, every nasty thing, tax cheats, everything you can think of. Then you've got the payment processing systems, and you've also got, we just had the head of the World Health Organization talk about this recently, the digital health certificates, the digital vaccine passports. They're taking what the EU developed during the COVID, which, by the way, the European Commission was promoting vaccine passports in May of 2019, long before anybody ever heard of a COVID or anything like that. So they're taking all of this together. And they are using it to build a control system that will not just be able to surveil and monitor everything you do on an unprecedented scale. When you combine it with AI, the ability to make sense of all this data, it's just mind-blowing, but also to manipulate what you do. And so they're talking about this, again, pretty openly. If you look at the World Economic Forum meetings, they talk about the benefits of programmable central bank digital currency, where they will be able to say who can buy what, when, under what conditions. And then the Bank for International Settlements, you know, Carol Quigley, to go back to him for a moment, Bill Clinton's mentor, the guy who really exposed this global agenda to create a one-world system, he said the apex of the system was going to be the Bank for International Settlements. This is an institution that's almost entirely unknown to Americans. And what they are working on right now, and this is not a secret, it's not a conspiracy because it's not happening behind closed doors, is what they call a universal blockchain ledger. They want to tokenize every asset in the known universe, every farm, every car, every house, every tree, put it on this ledger, this blockchain ledger, and then you're only able to interact with this blockchain ledger using your biometric digital ID, using your central bank digital currencies. And so if I want to buy something from you, I can't just hand you a $100 bill. I've got to go on my device, connect to this blockchain system, transfer the central bank digital currencies to you. And so this is a mechanism for controlling humanity that I think is really unprecedented in human history. And when you take it all together, it's very obvious.
I don't know anybody who lays it out as well as Alex Newman. It's the entire world, folks. They are trying to commodify every thing in the universe, natural, unnatural, real, fake, imagined. They want it all. They want to control it all. They want to control you like a bug, like a piece of livestock, or like a chip in a computer. Do as you're told or you'll be destroyed. That is their paradigm.
We've got 25% off store-wide for all apparel, but we've decided this week to sweeten the deal by giving you buy one, get one, 50% off for either the Shilajit Complex capsules or the Shilajit gummy. These gummies are delicious. They boost your testosterone, your vitality, and so much more. I take them every single day, and I've noticed a marked difference in my life. It doesn't stop there. We've got buy one, get one, 50% off for Atomic Defense as well. This is designed using ingredients that have been used for thousands of years to boost immune support. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It doesn't stop there. We are officially launching the Alex Jones War Bonds. You'll see here that there's a code right there. You can pause it. The first person to use this code does get $110 on the store. The way it works is you pay $100. You get this mailed to you. It comes with a custom code that will allow you to get $110 in store credit to the store. So pause it. First person to use this code gets $110, and make sure you show your support at the alexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the American Journal, brought to you by thealexjonesstore.com. We're going to go after your phone calls here in this hour. I got a lot of videos to show you as well. We'll go first to Kill Billy in Ohio. Kill Billy in Ohio. Thanks for calling in on line one. Crew, I'm sure, will click the button here any moment now, and we'll be able to go to your call. Thanks for calling in, Billy. You're on the air.
All right, man. So I think I found a way to checkmate these banks.
Okay.
To force them into discovery in court. So just basically walk up to a bank, throw a brick in the window, wait for the cops. When they ask you why you did it, you say, well, it's clear that the big banks are holding my country and me hostage, and they've definitely assaulted us, and I want to take them to court. And now I'm going to go to court and get discovery.
Well, why couldn't you just sue them to do that?
Well, I don't know. I didn't figure that out. I thought it was more of a civil disobedience thing, you know?
Well, I don't know about throwing a brick through the window, but...
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, what are we supposed to do, dude? This is ridiculous.
That is the question.
Bill Gates is at the damn White House, man. Come on. I mean, this is just gutting.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I just don't even know what to think, dude. I'm just shaking and with fury and anger. And I just want to build a killdozer and go crazy.
You know, I feel like a lot of people are feeling that way, and it's going to get to a critical mass at some point. They're really not going to be able to contain it, which is why really it's funny because it's like the best argument, for them from us. Like, you have to fix things or else you're all going to die. Like, what do you not understand about this? Like, we are reaching a point of no return. You have acted too, you've disregarded the feelings of the people too much, and like, we're not going to take it that much longer. It's really incumbent on them. They have the ability to stop this. They can just do some of what we want. Like, really, just bare minimum would be enough to satisfy people. They won't do it. And, like, they're really setting themselves up.
Do you realize the size of this cult, man? I mean, this thing goes back to ancient Iran, dude. These are devil-worshipping Yazidis. The Mormons take their name from a female vampire named Mormo, okay?
I didn't know that.
Dude, I found four, like, occult alphabets that are, like, for angels and celestials and all this stuff in a book called The Greater Key of Solomon, and you can plainly see that they pulled the Hebrew alphabet out of it, out of those four.
Really?
Plain as day. No, I'm not a language expert, but my dude, I can tell you, I've dug these rabbit holes way, way deeper.
You know, but that is the thing, is that when you look into all of this stuff, these people really do, they really are a cult. They really do, you know, put value in this stuff and think it's important. And so then, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, if there really is a spiritual dimension, if they really are able to, like, access demons and they're able to, you know, access forbidden technology by communing with, you know, off-world entities, machine elves, whatever you want to call them, if that's real, then there must be a spiritual dimension. If there's a spiritual dimension, that means there's probably a God. And if there's a God, then it means Jesus' son was probably his son. If you look at the course of human history, it's like knowing that these people are so involved in the occult, while it is sort of disturbing and terrifying, it should also, as a Christian, really give you confidence that there's a alternative force, that there's a force for good as well, and that by committing and submitting and being a willful participant in that, you can mitigate or fight back against some of the evil that we're facing, right? I mean, you know, you bring up all this evil that's very tangible and physical, the banks taking your money, the way that they're poisoning us. But underneath it, as you've identified, there is this occultish, demon-worshipping, satanic impulse that they have. There is a spiritual dimension to this. And if you're somebody that thinks there's, you know, spirituality can only go in the evil direction, like, that's insane. Clearly, there's got to be good forces of spirituality as well, right? So that's what we can use to fight back against it.
Netanyahu's name is a mix of two names, Akhenaten and Yahu. He is saying with that name that he is the one child sacrifice god of H. Canaanite, because that is just another name for Baal. He's saying that is his god, or he is that god. I promise you, brother. Hmm. Run this conversation by any scholar, and they'll tell you I'm correct.
Well, I know. I mean, he's used a couple different names. I know I've seen videos of him from back in, like, the 80s, and he's Benjamin Netten or something. Like, N-E-T-T-I-N?
Yeah, that's from Akhenaten. That's from the Pharaoh. He takes that name from that Akhenaten. Because Akhenaten, he ushered in monotheism.
Yeah. Well, and then it was reversed really quickly. That's a fascinating aspect. And it's all, I wish I could remember exactly how it breaks down. But when I was studying Egyptian history pretty closely, you can, like, translate.
Read the Kaber Nagast. It's about that, bro. I'm telling you.
The Kaber Nagast?
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It's good. It's wild, man. It talks about these things hovering 3 cubits off the ground. They travel for miles and miles and miles with them, and it's nuts.
Interesting. Well, I know
it's cool.
All those Egyptian names are all
this is
conjunctions.
Ethiopian.
Oh, that was Ethiopian. Well, the Ethiopian names, like Akhenaten, it's like, what is it? Aten is
the, well, yeah, this, it's like Ankh and. It's kind of a mix of those two names, but it's because of consciousness. Because the sun, you know, the sun gives birth to the planets. Okay,
uh-huh.
That's why they're all on a plane. That's why they're on the equator of the sun. You know, it gives birth to the planets, man. And they've known this for many thousands of years, bro. The Pleiades is mentioned several times in this super ancient book called the Shahnameh. Dude, you have to read it. I swear to God,
I need you to send me a list. I need you to email, DM me a list of books to read. I'd love to study up on.
I'm not verified on X, bro, and I won't pay a billionaire $11 a month for him to take my freaking data and sell it. No.
Well, okay. What do you want to give out your account so I can follow you and you can message me?
I'm at Rock and Roll Outlaw.
Rock and Roll Outlaw. Okay. I do want to read these books. I do think it's fascinating. I'd like to keep talking to you, but I do want to go to other callers now. But,
oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
Totally fascinating. And just bringing up the you know, astrological stuff.
The state of Utah is named after two Quranic jinn named Harut. They took the UT off of that, and they put the suffix AH on the end of it, which in Arabic gives it a feminine designation, making the state of Utah an androgynous being.
I swear, it's nuts, dude.
I believe you. I mean, the Mormons got some interesting theology. They are interesting test case.
At Lumberjerk on Substack.
Lumberjerk?
Yeah.
Lumberjerk. All right. All right. I'm taking notes here during this call. I hope everybody else is too. Yeah. Thank you for the call. I mean, there's stuff like the Saturn thing that Saturn has a hexagon on its pole, and like nobody could have known that. It was impossible to know that until we had modern technology. You couldn't even see it with, you know, telescopes until the, I don't know if you can ever see it with telescopes. I think we needed to, you know, send a probe there, and you see this very clear hexagon on Saturn, and you just start connecting the hexagon to Saturn, to the black cube, which if you look at a cube at the corner, the shape of its outline is a hexagon, and you got the black cube that they worship in Islam, you got the black cube that they have in their forehead in Judaism during some of their prayer rituals, you have the six-sided, the six-pointed star, the number six constantly comes up, the hexagram, hexing is, you know, to put spells on people, right? That's where that word comes from. And then it all has to do with Saturn, which is the morning star, which is our bug is doing something wonky here. It has a mind of its own. It's being absorbed by the black cube. Oh no. Oh, are you going to put R cube on Mac cube?
Wow.
The crew is getting creative.
Not
here.
Not the crew. My God.
That's awesome.
There's one man.
It's live. We're doing it live. That is cool. I like that. Somebody screen record that.
That's Dan, everybody. That's Dan.
Dan is getting creative on it. Now he's going to have to try to fix it. That was cool. I like that a lot. But it's like, okay, why is it that Saturn is associated with Lucifer, the morning star, the fall of Satan, the six-pointed shape, the hexagon, the black cube? There's a black cube on Saturn somehow, and nobody could have seen it, yet somehow it's all related in the ancient text. How did that happen? And now they got people talking about that there are spaceships inside the rings that are traveling at different speeds, that apparently there's an alien civilization hidden within the rings of Saturn. There's the hexagon right there. It's like, there's gotta be something here. There's gotta be something to this, right? There's no way that these things are all just coincidentally intertwined from ancient text to modern discoveries. They all align with each other. Like, there's something here. This is the God of the universe. This is the programmer of the simulation showing us the code a little bit, showing us that there is a code underneath it. Even if we can't identify exactly what it's saying. Fascinating call. Kill Billy. I really, really enjoyed that, and I'll hit you up on X. Thank you. Let's go to Sally in British Columbia, because this is sort of in line with everything else we were talking about, and I think I have a video to really, really put your comment over the top, Sally. Thanks for calling in from British Columbia. You're on the air.
Oh, good. Harrison, I can't see your video right now because we are, I have to be on the phone, right? So,
well, as soon as we're done, I'll go to the video. So, what are your comments on the digital ID and phones listening to us and just the surveillance that we're under right now?
Okay, so to case in point, I don't know how long it's been going on. I've been aware of it for the last, I'd say, few months. Every time I bring up a certain topic, if I'm on the phone, or if I call in your network, that little green light on my at the top of my phone goes on.
Oh.
So I know I'm being recorded, right? So say hi to our spies.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know what that means. If it's an iPhone, that is usually what that means.
Yeah, and I like a real trigger word for them is pedophilia.
Hmm. They're scanning for that.
Oh, yeah, obviously, right? Because that bleep, all of a sudden that little green light goes on, right?
Interesting.
So, and as soon as I called in your network, that green light went on. It doesn't usually go on, like, as soon as I make a phone call. It usually goes on with trigger words. But when I called in your network, the green light went on automatically before anyone answered even so.
Well, you get yourself a phone cover, that's for sure. Get yourself a Faraday cage or a privacy pouch if you can. We covered the story yesterday of the new form of blackmail where I guess they can hack into your webcam and take a picture of you while you're looking at naughty images on the internet in order to blackmail you with it. So
Well, don't worry about me. I won't be doing that.
So. Yeah, I don't think you're a risk for that, but you're, you know, they might be taking pictures of you other times. The fact is that anything that can connect to the internet can be hacked into, pretty much. I mean, it's not, nothing is really secure. Things just,
I would love
to
get my Faraday cages from you guys. Last time I made an order to the Alex Jones store, I was ordering from them actually quite regularly, and I was actually going to become a subscriber. And then I ordered the methylene blue, and it came in, and I went to pick it up at the post office, but it was only going to cost me an extra $400 to pick it up because of all these. I'm not joking. So, of course, I had to send it back, right?
Is this a Canadian thing?
Yeah.
So they paid the postage. They sent you your package. Your package is there at the post office waiting for you, and they say give us $400?
Yep.
For what?
It was to do with the tariff wars. I don't know. We just couldn't do it, right? There was no way around it. So I'm like, as much as I wanted to try your product and I was excited to get it, I couldn't afford the extra $400 at the post office.
How did they even know what you were being shipped?
It was from the USA, right?
So every package from the USA costs $400. That's suspicious to me.
It is suspicious to me too, because I go through a company for my vitamins, Melaleuca. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're from the USA too, and they never charge extra. But yeah, your stuff, and it happened twice. Actually, the first time it was for the gummies, the CMOS gummies, and there was that $300 charge, and I actually paid it that first time. Whoa. And then the second time, I'm like, I can't keep this up.
No, yeah, don't do that. That's crazy. I'd love to see some documentation or something that explains what that's about. I don't know. Maybe we can have other callers from Canada and tell us if they've experienced this as well. Do you get it shipped to a post office, or do you get it shipped to your home address and they just withhold it until you pay?
Either way, if it's a package, it has to come through the post office, you see.
That's very weird.
Although, I know, it's Canada.
All right.
If
anybody else from Canada who has ordered our products wants to call in, I want to know if you've had the same experience or if you're able to get them delivered, because I don't think there should be any reason why they should be charging you $400 for a pack. I think
it was six bottles of methylene blue. Yeah. And it was like, it was already going to be like over $100, whatever, but they wanted to tack on the extra $400. Also, I wanted to tell you, in Canada. Okay. So how can anyone believe with Kilhave in the White House and then the entire Epstein thing, how can anyone believe in this guy anymore? Like, we used to be Trump supporters too, but from Canada, like, not that our vote meant anything, but yeah, supporters. But yeah, no, there's too much dirty stuff going on.
You
got to believe your lying eyes, right?
I mean, the Epstein stuff was bad enough anyway, and now he's teaming up with Bill Gates. It's like literally everything we voted against. You know, it's just what we did not want is now happening. I can't justify it. I don't want to justify it. I think it's, all I can do is hope and pray, not expect, but just wish on a shooting star that this is all part of a grand, he's keeping his enemies close, like the Godfather says. I mean, that's really the only hope we have at this point, and I'm not exactly hopeful in that. And I'll treat it just like I always treated the claims from, you know, places like QAnon, just trust the plan, just, you know, it's all happening behind the scenes. Right. It's like, if that's the case, great. When the hammer comes down, when Hillary Clinton gets the perp walk, then I will be proven wrong and I'll be so happy to be wrong. But I cannot take that as an assumption. I cannot even, you know, think that that's a possibility. If it is, great. It'll happen regardless of what I do. But I'm just going to assume until it happens that it's not happening, and you got to just behave that way. And that's how I see it. So
you got to believe your gut. You got to believe your eyes. We got to quit being so naive as to believe the liars that have lied to us for
Definitely. I agree very much. Thank you so much for the call, Sally. These calls are too good. I'm staying on them too long, and it's unfair to the other callers. So I got to go to other callers. I do want to go to this video first. Clip number 9. This is
thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Sally. I appreciate it, and I hope we can figure out the issue with your products, because again, I don't think that's legal. I don't think they're allowed to charge $400 on top of something that you already paid for. That I don't trust. I don't trust your post office. But thank you for the call. Let's go to clip number 9. This is about Google Vault number 7, because originally Sally called in about your phone's listening to you. Oh, if only it was just your phone, Sally. That would actually make a little bit of sense. But no, I told you the schizos from the 2000s were right. It's your microwave listening to you. It's your speaker system that's been hijacked and is now listening to you. That was just some of what was revealed in Vault number 7. Let's watch.
Google Vault 7, it will knock your socks off. There was a CIA computer engineer named Joshua Schulte. He was apparently a disgruntled engineer. He didn't like his boss. He didn't like his coworkers. They didn't like him. So he just downloaded the crown jewels of the Directorate of Science and Technology and sent it all to WikiLeaks in 2017. He revealed that the CIA has developed technologies to, for example, remotely take over your car by hacking into the chip. Why would the CIA want to take over your car? To make you drive off a bridge, maybe? They developed technology to reverse your smart TV to make the speaker into a microphone with the TV still appearing to be off so you don't know that it's broadcasting everything that's being said in your house to CIA headquarters. They were able to hack into other countries' most sensitive technological systems and to leave little scraps of code, but the scraps of code are written in Russian. So people say, oh, the fucking Russians hacked into us. Actually, it was us.
Just some of what was revealed in Vault 7. And of course, if you're new to the awakening, which is any time in the last 5 years, if COVID or anything after COVID woke you up, you got decades of information to go back over. And it's tough because we just sort of incorporate this stuff into our knowledge and just move on without talking about it a lot. But it's almost like it's worth it to go back and explain Vault 7, WikiLeaks, all the stuff that was revealed during 2016 and the spirit cooking. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. So I hope everybody who's just joining us, you know, recognizes how much they have to catch up on, and Godspeed in doing so. I want to go to one more video here, and then we'll go out to calls in the next segment again. But I want to go to clip number 15, because I feel like this is an increasingly common, like, mindset people have, and it's baffling to me, and I think it's a psyop to distract people from coming to sort of the obvious conclusions by obscuring reality with a bunch of sort of woo-woo nonsense to distract people. Let's go to clip number 15, where this guy came up with this theory that the world wars were all about destroying the old world. What? Crazy. Let's watch.
You want to know how deep I've gone down rabbit holes? I'm convinced that both of the world wars were really just to erase the old world, and that there was an entire narrative scripted around who the bad guys were, who the allies are, and it was really meant to just destroy all of these beautiful cities. They took out all of the bells, if you guys haven't looked into why there would be bells in public spaces, and the healing properties and the harmonious properties that these churches and all the architecture was built in. Okay, it's sacred geometry, and it's not unrealistic that they started two world wars and put, at the time, our best men in every single country lined up across each other because they wanted to take out the most brave and quote-unquote prestigious men for every country, knowing that all of them would want to go to war.
And so, of course, he's exactly right. And that's normal history. Like, he's like, this is how far I've gone down the rabbit hole. It's like, no, there was an old war world. Then the world wars happened, and now we're in a completely different world. That's just mainstream history. That there's nothing – now the fact that it was scripted and that there's a narrative that they're pushing also I think should be a little bit obvious just from observation. But then it's like it's because of the resonance of bells. It's like there are still bells. And, yeah, bells probably have some healing properties, but that's not what this was about. And yeah, there was sacred geometry in the construction of the buildings, but it wasn't about hiding that. It was about – destroying the construct of the world, which at the time was European, with European nobility expanding rapidly, creating colonies all over the world, all of that ground to a halt
the turn of the 19th century, and then started to reverse and started to invert. So it's like this kind of confusing thing where people like go in and discover it, because it's like Tartaria is like this. They're like, it's all Tartaria and the old world. It's like, no, there was an old world, and then the world wars happened, and now we're in dystopian hell world. It's very simple, actually.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up, because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it, because you had buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to, don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly, where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so
much. You for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to go to your phone calls here in just a second. But there's a There's an interesting front in the war going on digitally, centered around Wikipedia and the various factions vying to control that universal source of information. From Tablet Magazine, the Wiki Wars. On August 27th, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform launched a probe into the Wikimedia Foundation, the nonprofit that hosts Wikipedia, to determine the role and the methods of foreign individuals in manipulating articles on the platform to influence U.S. public opinion. In the committee's letter to the foundation CEO, committee chair James Comer and Subcommittee on Cybersecurity Chair Nancy Mace requested documents and information related to actions by Wikipedia volunteer editors to uncover potentially systematic efforts to advance anti-Semitism and anti-Israel information on Wikipedia articles. So, the American government is now targeting Wikimedia Foundation and Wikipedia in particular for having anti-Israel information on in Wikipedia articles. Now, it doesn't say false information. It doesn't say, they want to focus on truth, just that they don't want anti-Semitic information or anti-Israel information. But what about the times Israel's done bad things? What if you want to talk about that? What if you want to post something about that? Now, what they say, again, to quote the article, they want to determine this House Oversight on House Committee on Government and Oversight and Government Reform wants to determine the role and methods of foreign individuals in manipulating articles on the platform to influence U.S. public opinion. And they're very concerned about the sort of organized efforts that are carried out by foreign states to manipulate Wikipedia, by having their own operatives become Wikipedia editors. Now, if they are concerned about that, clip number 17 is former Prime Minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett, discussing the Yesha Council editors to create balanced and Zionist in nature content in Wikipedia. This is from a few years ago. This is the former Prime Minister of Israel talking about the way that the Israeli government is hyper-focused on taking over Wikipedia. Let's watch.
Moetzet Yesha, in conjunction with My Israel, has arranged an instruction day for wiki editors. The goal of the day is to teach people how to edit in Wikipedia, which is the number one source of information today in the world. As a way of example, if someone searches the Gaza flotilla, we want to be there. We want to be the guys who influence what is written there, how it's written, and to ensure that it's balanced and Zionist in nature.
Balanced and Zionist in nature. So that's right there is what that is a systematic effort by a government to hijack Wikipedia to change the perception, mostly in Americans, over things like the Gaza flotilla or any other, topic. And the Republicans have launched this investigation into Wikipedia. We showed you the video from January of this year of ADL CEO Jonathan Greenblatt addressing the Israeli Knesset and saying, Wikipedia is one of these battlegrounds that you have to be fighting for. Then the ADL itself was banned from being a respected or, whatever their term is, a source for Wikipedia. Wikipedia has requirements as to what can be used as a source. And one of the things is it has to be nonpartisan and has to be actually genuinely dedicated to the truth, while the ADL is dedicated to ethnic supremacy and censorship, on the basis of their own religion or race. So Wikipedia said, we're not going to take ADL sources anymore because they're partisan, because they are not truth tellers. They are activists. And so in response to that, the ADL sort of launched this attack against Wikipedia with Israel, and now the Republican Party is doing their bidding as well. This article goes on to say, I shed light on these organized efforts in an October 2024 investigative report. Specifically, I identified a network of more than three dozen editors who I dubbed the Gang of 40, who systematically pushed the most extreme anti-Zionist narratives on Wikipedia. These editors have made 850,000 combined edits across 10,000 articles related to Israel, effectively reshaping the entire topic area. Last month, the group scored its latest and most brazen victory on Wikipedia when a Wikipedia administrator issued a final rejection to an appeal on an extraordinary 12 months freeze these editors had pushed to place on the lead section of Zionism article, thus prohibiting any changes to their edits during that period. So in other words, in the article about Zionism, they wrote in the opening paragraph, quote, Zionists wanted to create a Jewish state in Palestine with as much land, as many Jews, and as few Palestinian Arabs as possible. Now, I don't know why that is wrong. I mean, that seems accurate to me. But I guess it's anti-Semitic. I guess it's anti-Israel. So they want it removed. And this, inspired some of this. But looking at the way that this is being treated, the way that this censorship program is being unveiled, you know, obviously they have the, you know, diaspora chief in Facebook changing the rules to benefit Jews in Israel. You've got the new TikTok person that, again, the U.S. government helped to put pressure on TikTok to get the, you know, ADL operative as the hate speech manager there, who says, you know, her whole point of being there is to, you know, change the narrative about Israel. And you have Wikipedia doing it as well. Here's one of the, you know, results of these programs. Clip number four. It's about Holocaust and the USS Liberty. Because remember, the USS Liberty was an occasion where Israel deliberately attacked an American ship, killing a great many American sailors, attempting to sink the ship entirely in an effort to blame it on Egypt and drag America into a war. Now, that's hate speech, what I just said, because it confirms the stereotypes that one might find in anti-Semitic material. The false flagging, the dragging America into war, the, you know, fake alliance that we don't really have, the, you know, murderous intent of the IDF. You know, it's very anti-Israel. It's a very anti-Israel thing to have happened and to talk about. So what happens if you search it now? You get a message about the Holocaust for some reason. Let's watch.
If you search the USS Liberty on TikTok, you get a notification about the Holocaust. And it's not just a notification, it's a whole infographic with suggestions of dozens of Zionist accounts to follow. When you search for Gaza, you get this, like, notification saying, like, events are rapidly changing, you might not want to believe everything that you see here. But I searched up, like, all major conflicts and wars that are happening right now, and this doesn't come up, even though they're just as rapidly changing, but it only comes up for Gaza. But this Remember the Holocaust notification didn't come up when I was searching for things that were actually connected to the Holocaust. Like 1930s Germany, I looked up certain names, I looked up certain places, I looked up certain events, and the notification didn't come up, except for just the term Holocaust and USS Liberty. But I can't explain to you how not connected to the Holocaust the USS Liberty incident is. It's called an incident and not an attack for some reason, even though what happened was Israel attacked an American spy boat during the Six Days War in 1967, 22 years after the Holocaust ended. The attack killed like 34 people and injured like 170 or more. And Israel claimed that it was a mistake, that they misidentified, even though everybody who survived and was there was like, that's impossible. They were on international water and they were clearly identified as American. Also, they'd been having communication with Israel for like the days leading up to the attack. In fact, just before the attack, Israeli planes had flown so close to the ship as they passed that they were waving to each other. But both Israel and America investigated the attack and said it was an incident and it was just an accident, even though like everyone who was there was like, no, it wasn't. And Israel did go on to pay like millions of pounds in reparation and damages to America, but they also were just giving America back money that America had already given them, so... And I'm not being like a conspiracist, but it's just like, it's so hard to feel like your opinion, your point of view, your own thoughts about something are not always being manipulated and maneuvered. When you go to look up something that Israel have done wrong and you're like, oh, that's interesting, I want to see. And you're just reminded of like the Holocaust, an event that took place in a different decade, in a different continent. Like it's not relevant.
It's not relevant at all. And again, it's like, so clearly it's just about covering up for Israel. Like the Holocaust awareness banner doesn't show up if you search 1930s Germany. It's not just like, okay, if you mention anything that has to do with the Holocaust and that pops up. No, it's something that has nothing to do with Holocaust that just makes Israel look bad. And their response is just to be like, but remember the Holocaust though? So do you really want to talk about this? You really want to like talk about the evil things that Israel does? Cause remember the Holocaust? Remember that? So let's keep our mouth shut. All right. Let's keep your mouth shut because of the Holocaust. Like it's So it's completely absurd, totally ridiculous. And of course, the direct result of America forcing TikTok to accept an Israeli censor who's made all these changes. Now, the actual probe into Wikipedia that America is doing at the behest of Israel says that there are systematic efforts to advance anti-Semitism and anti-Israel information on Wikipedia articles related to conflicts with the state of Israel by hostile non-state actors to expose Western audiences to pro-Kremlin and pro-Western messaging by manipulating Wikipedia articles and other news outlets relied on training AI chatbots. Oh, so maybe that's what this is about. Wikipedia is used to train the AI, so they want the AI being pro-Israel. They can't have AI incorporating anti-Israel information. That's interesting. They're trying to find records, communication, or analysis pertaining to possible coordination by nation-state actors and editing activities on Wikipedia. Well, you should ask your friend, former Prime Minister of Israel, about that. Records, communications, or analysis pertaining to possible coordination within academic institutions or other organized efforts to edit or influence content. It goes on and on, as well as patterns of manipulation or bias related to anti-Semitism and conflicts with the state of Israel. So again, this is the American government making demands on the behalf of Israel. It's not for us. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with the truth. It has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with America or Judaism even. As RT notes, Wikipedia probed by House Republicans for potential efforts to advance anti-Semitic and anti-Israel info and articles, demands Wikimedia Foundation docs on possible nation-state actors involved in editing articles, which, of course, Israel would be the premier example of, yet it is Israel that we're doing this on the behalf of. So wrap your mind around that. Again, this is the thing they're complaining about. They say they literally hacked into Wikipedia to change the definition of Zionism, and it can't be changed for a year. It wasn't hacking. It was just a decision that they made. And this is the sentence that they disagree with. Zionists wanted to create a Jewish state in Palestine with as much land, as many Jews, and as few Palestinian Arabs as possible. Again, what is the – where's the lie? Microsoft teamed up with Unit 8200 to monitor Palestinians in 2021. Israel's Unit 8200 struck a deal with Microsoft to move 70% of Unit 8200's collective data, including highly sensitive intelligence, onto Microsoft Azure servers abroad. From that point, the unit began quietly uploading massive volumes of recordings from phone calls involving millions of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. Intelligence insiders described the scale as staggering, a million calls an hour. We've covered this before, but again, it's everywhere. It's ridiculous. It's constant. It's every big tech company involved, and any big tech company that isn't actively involved in contributing to the efforts of Israel is now getting an Israeli censor at the behest of the U.S. government. Wikipedia, see, this is the actual timeline. Wikipedia designated ADL as unreliable. ADL responded by self-reflecting, just kidding. The ADL said Wikipedia is an anti-Semitic terrorist and is now activating the Israeli and the U.S. Governments to shut it down. And so all the way back in January 17, when they started working on this with Jonathan Greenblatt, noting Wikipedia must begin work to undo the harm caused by the rogue but prolific editors who've wrecked havoc across the platform, causing untold harm to potentially hundreds of entries about Israel, the 10/7 massacre, Zionism, and topics related to anti-Semitism. Yeah, so they want censorship. I mean, basically, they just want censorship, and they're, you know, desperate to bring this about. But we have free speech in this country, and telling the truth about Israel is not a crime. Let's go to clip number 16, who's a rabbi who disagrees with that sentiment. Let's watch.
The mayor of Richmond is an axe murderer and needs to be put in jail. And I'll explain it very simply. The getaway car driver for a robbery where a killing occurs can be convicted for murder. He can be sent away for jail, even though he never intended for anybody to be shot. It was simply supposed to be a robbery, and all he did was drive the car. He's still a murderer. Well, if a person declares himself part of Hamas, like the mayor of Richmond did, said, I would be Hamas if I were in that situation. Okay, fine. You're part of an actual rape gang. I mean, they have. The Israelis discovered the paperwork to prove it, but we knew it all along. Hamas made rape part of their program. They knew, thanks to their accomplices, the so-called Gazan civilians who worked in these settlements. They knew how many people lived in each house, how many children were in the house, if they had a dog, so that Hamas should know to murder the dog. So again, they used rape as part of their program. They beheaded babies, not by coincidence. It was part of the program. They burned babies in ovens. They were worse than the Nazis. Just like, you know, this is exact, and this was part of their plan. And of course, they took hostages, a war crime on a daily basis, and they're starving them. They're torturing them. They're brutalizing them on a daily basis. And this is what Hamas represents. If you have a mayor declaring he is part of Hamas, he is himself part of the gang. He's an axe murderer. He's a rapist. He's a beheader of babies. He doesn't belong in office. He belongs in jail.
He belongs in jail. Okay, so what you just heard was a bunch of atrocity propaganda that isn't true. They didn't put babies in ovens. I don't think the beheaded babies has ever been confirmed. Definitely not. Of course, using rape as a systemic tool of war is one of the major tools in the Israeli arsenal. I mean, they had a big scandal earlier this year with the systemic and horrifying gang rape of prisoners resulted in giant protest in favor of the rape of prisoners. So, to even, criticize Hamas for that is a little bit hypocritical. But regardless, what you just heard was a rabbi basically saying that if you question the atrocity propaganda lies of the Israeli government, you should go to jail. You should go to jail because you're basically the getaway driver of a murder. If you say, yeah, I would also be Hamas. I would also be resisting foreign occupation if I was in Palestine. He should be deported. I don't know where this guy is, but this rabbi should probably be deported if he's in America, because clearly he doesn't understand what we're about. And no, you're not allowed to just make up lies about babies in ovens and then say you have to go to jail for saying that didn't happen or that it wasn't true or that you support the people that you're lying about. So again, we just got to get out of this mindset. We got to get away from this. I'll go out to your calls here. Final video. It's a short one, but Hezbollah agent Brandon Tatum tells Netanyahu how happy he is that his Christian congregation was only spit on once during their visit to Israel. Isn't that lovely? Let's watch.
In Israel, if you actually talk to the majority of Christians, talk to them, you'll see what they say. They say, Israel is the only place where we're respected and protected.
And I can attest to that as a Christian who went to Israel. I spent 2 weeks there with the church, and we had an incredible time. We had only one incident where a small child spit on one of the pastors. And immediately after, there was an adult that came by and said, that's not a representation of who we are. You know, we love you guys. You guys are always welcome here. And I have to say, no adults gave us any grief. We had no issues whatsoever in our experience there. It was actually an amazing experience.
Yeah, he only got spit on once. So, I mean, that's awesome. That's so cool. That's so awesome that you only got spit on once in your visit to Israel. 2 weeks and only one guy hawked a loogie at you? That's...
Well, he was spit on by one of God's chosen people, so it's...
He was blessed. He was
really
blessed by the child. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Really incredible support. Of course... You know, it's, you're way safer as a Christian in Israel than, I don't know, a Christian in Gaza or something. You know, it's pretty dangerous to be a Christian in Gaza these days because, Israel keeps bombing churches. So there is that. And these are the people who, are using the American government to press Israel and TikTok and big tech and everybody to, support them. Again, why? Why are we slaves to Israel? It's, very infuriating. Now we got to your calls. Let's go to Mitchell in Oregon. Mitchell, thanks for calling in on line 9. You're on the air.
Hey, we're on the show?
No, you're live.
Oh, awesome. This is the first time I've ever called InfoWars. Hey, I got something very serious that I need to share. There's two possibilities. Do you remember about all that radiation in Walmart shrimp?
Yes.
Okay, there's a thing to that. Do you remember how Trump sent a nuclear submarine to Russia a while ago?
I don't remember that, but go ahead.
Do you remember how there was a tsunami off the coast of North California, Southern Oregon?
Yes, yeah, and they thought it was going to be huge, but it ended up not being all that big.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. There's a possibility someone dropped an atomic bomb and we weren't told about it, or there is a leaking nuclear reactor in Indonesia And this nuclear reactor, it's southwest of Jakarta, and it's leaking straight up nuclear waste into this river called the Kalidarsi River. Don't remember what the exact name is. But there's a nuclear waste facility right next to the river. And that river, guess what, goes right out into the ocean outside of Jakarta. And the fishing company that is out by Indonesia, they literally go out into that specific port to fish up the shrimp and then was shipping it into the U.S. So there's really kind of two possibilities here. There's either a leaking radioactive they're literally dumping radioactive waste into a river, or someone dropped an atomic bomb somewhere and we're not being told about it.
You know,
but
I'm
just telling you.
Yeah, I think
this is something more to this than we're being told.
Yeah, I would think so too. I think the Indonesian thing is probably more likely than the nuclear weapon, because I don't think nuclear weapons have the amount of radiation that would poison entire like shrimp populations. And I'm pretty sure we routinely test, or at least we used to routinely test nuclear weapons in the Pacific. So I'm not sure if that would, but a leaking, you know, radioactive plant, that would certainly, you know, be more than enough to poison the seafood. Interesting stuff, Mitchell. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to, James in Vegas now. James in Vegas on line four. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, right on. Hey, man, you guys just mind blown me with all kind of stuff while I was waiting to talk. But for the anti-Semite stuff, before the COVID, nobody even gave a rat's butt about anti-Semites and Israel and all this other stuff. These guys made it a point to us, which, you know, if you're a Republican, 90% is probably independent, never really give a, you know, left, right, didn't matter.
Uh-huh.
But now you guys are shoving it in our face.
Yeah.
You guys are shoving it down our throats. And now we're starting to see more. I never knew about the Liberty, USS Liberty. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that. I did know that you guys killed Jesus Christ. Didn't really bug me. You know what I mean? Like, back then, whatever happened, you know what I mean? Like, hey, but, you know, it is what it is. But now you guys are shoving it down our throats. And now we're actually starting, you know, it's just like Candace Owens says. Oh, man, you guys are shoving it down my throat. Now I got to eat it.
Right. Well, and look, it's pretty much entirely because of Israel's actions since October 7th. Like,
exactly.
I mean, and it's the thing that, you know, so baffling when they're like, there's this rise in anti-Semitism because of TikTok. And it's like, yeah, because of all of the war crimes that are there.
Because of your actions.
Yeah, because of the horrifying things Israel's been doing.
You tried to silence us by pressuring us. Oh, you're anti-Semitic if you say anything. Well, guess what? There's a reason why our forefathers made freedom of speech the First Amendment, not the Second, not the Third, not the 12th, the First.
Yep.
And the freedom of religion.
And again, you're exactly right. And it's so bizarre that they're using the freedom of religion as an argument as to why you shouldn't be able to criticize Judaism.
Exactly.
And it's
but
like,
that's the exact opposite.
Kind of funny. It's the exact opposite. The whole point is you have to be able to criticize religion. You don't have the First Amendment so you can enforce religion. You have it so you can do the exact opposite. You get it, James. You get it, obviously. You're exactly right. Man, we're already at the end of the show. I'm sorry to our other callers who are on hold. We'll do more next week. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison today. Take advantage of the Total War fundraiser sale. Buy one, get one half off on a lot of products like Shilajit and Atomic Defense. Get a t-shirt. Get the war bonds. You get $10 on us with the war bonds. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay tuned. Alex Jones begins in 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks.
What really makes a nutraceutical work? What is a nutraceutical? What is a supplement? Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about Power Plant, for example. So Methyl Drive is something that everyone, whether they're 12 or whether they're 90, they should all take it. Power Plant is a little bit more specific. It's good for both men and women. I would say it has a stronger, more pronounced factor on the younger side, especially people that are into high-intensity exercise. Key ingredient in that is cordyceps, which increases your oxygen carrying capacity, but it also increases ATP, and it also helps you make new mitochondria. So imagine taking something like cordyceps found in power plant and then combining it with methyl drive. But oh, wait, there's also total male mineral support in power plant. We've got zinc, which increases luteinizing hormone, which makes you produce more testosterone. But then to counteract the rise in sex hormone binding globulin, we include boron in it to increase your free testosterone. That's something that normal formulas don't do. We've got the thing that creates free testosterone in your body in power plant, according to studies. That's Mainline. You can Google it.
And not all CoQ10 is the same, right?
Everyone should take CoQ10. Listen, and if you're going to take CoQ10, you're going to go to some store or some pharmacy, and they're going to try to sell you a bottle with the same amount that's in here for like $50. You get CoQ10 plus four other ingredients with this.
It's true. And the same amount.
Same amount. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our ultramethylene blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any like man or woman, young and old, if you're on methylene blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl drive is something that every person in the country should take.
So the methylene blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.